Hello,
How are you?
what the heck? Welcome back.
I need to apologize. I've been too busy growing my beard out.
Oh,
So I haven't been here. I apologize.
is it going to be difficult for you to find your beard grooming products?
No, I have a little basket.
Okay. I didn't know if your supply chain from Amazon might be dried up now.
Now, why would that happen?
'Cause panic in the streets, panic in the disco.
No. That's
Oh.
fake news. No, so I don't need a whole lot of products. I use one product, and it's very good. I use a leave-in conditioner.
I thought you used Justin's product.
Well, I was using argan oil,
Yeah.
but then I found this leave-in conditioner that has argan oil in it.
Oh.
And it leaves my beard softer and easier to brush.
Does it smell as nice?
It does not smell as nice.
Oh, darn it.
It does not. But it's very good.
Who
It's very
did you
good.
say made it?
I don't remember.
Oh, I thought you said a leave.
I'll leave. No.
Or maybe that was I leave it in.
Yes, I do leave it in.
There you go.
That's what she said. Where's the bell?
Oh, God dang it.
So, yes, I do leave it in. Leave-in conditioner, and I do it every day, every morning, and then I brush my beard.
Soft and luxurious.
Yes, it's getting very luxurious, Nick.
Oh,
I mean, you got to remember
can you
the
put
last time I
wax in it
tried.
and make it a point?
No, not yet.
Ah, dang it.
Not yet. Not yet. I mean, I've only been growing it for. Let's see. So the last time I trimmed my beard was for Ronnie's wedding. So that's what, 5 or 6 months?
Okay.
Yeah. It's very good though.
Now, are you going to pull it into a point, or will you have it in like a dipsy-doo curl that goes forward?
No,
Very
into a
Tim
point.
Burton.
Yeah, into a point.
Okay. I think I'd go dipsy-doo curl.
No curl. And actually, I'm not even growing my mustache. I do still trim my mustache.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, so it's just the
But then
beard.
where does it become out of control? Are your cheeks absolutely out of control, but your mustache is trim and tight?
So the thing is, I have this curl near my sideburns, and so I have to like keep it tame so I don't have this weird curl like jutting out of my face. You see?
Okay. I
Yeah.
got it. I
Yeah.
gotcha.
So I do that. So I put the leave-in conditioner, I leave it for a few minutes, then I brush it with a comb, a wooden comb. And then after that I take my boar's hair brush and I brush it with that 'cause that flattens it out. It gives it a nice shape, nice even shape.
So where does it become unmanageable? Like at the bottom of your chin?
No, it's not unmanageable anywhere right now.
Well, it's got to be long somewhere. And if you're trimming at the sides along the cheek, then it has to become lengthy somewhere.
It's lengthy everywhere.
Well, you said you trimmed it along the sides for the
No,
curls.
just the, no. That I brush. All I trim is the mustache.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to figure it out. I didn't know if it was a connecting neck beard. I didn't know what the hell it was.
I see. I see. No,
Yes.
but it does go down. I don't know, about halfway down my neck, I would say.
Will you, Martin Ferretti, host of the Nerdy Legion podcast,
Never heard of it.
will you be recreating our Nerdy Legion logo for the extended beer length?
So it's funny that you mentioned that because I got on Twitter, whatever it was, last week that I came back
Sure.
on Twitter
Sure.
and I saw my
Welcome back.
picture and I was like, that picture needs more beard.
Yes.
So I will, just not right now.
Okay. Will you keep the same color shirt, which is, your standard black t-shirt, V-neck t-shirt, and black beard? Will you keep that color combo? And will your beard be long enough that the image of you is just going to be completely black? Going
Except
all the
for
way
my
down.
eyeballs.
Yes.
So of course I will continue wearing my black V-neck t-shirts. That's all I wear.
Right.
How long will I get my beard? I don't know. My goal is to grow it for at minimum 1 year. So I still have about 6 or 7 months before I decide what to do with it.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then will you trim all your beard off and put that into a pillowcase and make Heather a wonderful hair pillow for Christmas? Holiday shopping right around the corner, honey. Look what I got you.
No, I will not be doing that.
An argan oil scented sleeping pillow. It's because you know those pillows, you don't need those like huggable form-fitted pillows to make yourself comfortable. You could just have a nice little beard pillow that she could snuggle up to, put right next to her like neck.
This is true.
Listeners, somebody create that.
This is true.
Create an image of that. I want to see Heather with the little with Martin's beard scented pillow. Fast asleep, watching her murder mysteries or 600-pound life videos.
So no, I will not be doing that.
Okay, all right.
Nor do I have any plans of trimming my beard
Well, I
or
figured,
cutting it off.
December hits. It's been a year. You might.
Yeah. So Zoe wants me to cut it off.
Uh-oh.
She also thinks it's ridiculous that I brush my beard.
What?
Yeah. I'm like, well, you brush your hair.
Yeah. Do you tell her this is what fancy lads do?
So I feel like my childhood dream of being like an old hippie, like teaching philosophy and smoking weed all the time, like in a college, is almost coming true. Aside from the fact that right now I would probably have to do that from home, like via Skype to all my students.
Sure.
Yes,
I
but
do think with Zoe, I think you need to take some pictures of some scraggly ass beards and mustaches and facial grooming and just show her like 5 photos and be like, is that how you want daddy to take care of his facial hair? Because I'm not shaving it off. Is that how you want it to look? Because there's some splotchy ass beards and some unkept facial hair.
yes.
And then she'll be all on board. She'll be like, Beardo 2020, do it.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I think she just needs to get used to it, you know what I mean?
Right. She'll grow into it.
Yes. My wife doesn't say anything anymore. Because I do whatever. I'm a grown ass man, Nick.
And she realizes whatever she says, you're going to do the opposite. So it's better not to say anything. I hear
Also
that.
true. See,
Yeah.
usually the saying is happy wife, happy life. But, this is an equal opportunity world. You know what I mean?
Oh, very progressive.
Yeah. So, also, happy bearded husband, happy life.
Happy Martino, leave him alone-o.
Now, the thing is, I don't have, like, 2 fucks to give for much of anything. You know what I mean?
That's
So, like,
true.
so what's she gonna say? Like, no, please cut it off? And be like, but I like
Well,
it.
she could.
I mean, she could, but
Yeah.
she knows I wouldn't do it.
That's true.
You know what I
I mean,
mean?
but she's also a wonderful wife that saves you pie when you're coming late to Thanksgiving and Christmas. So,
This is true.
yeah.
This is very true.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Plus, my wife knows. Matter of fact, we had this
Just don't go
conversation.
into the realm of Joe Rogan. That's all I'm concerned with.
What do you mean?
Well, you're smoking pot all day, talking to your student. You're getting very close to Joe Rogan territory.
Oh, well, number one, I wouldn't actually be smoking pot. Maybe eating mushrooms or something. Plus, Joe Rogan doesn't have a luxurious beard. You know what I mean? He doesn't even have hair in his head.
That's true, but I bet you he could grow a good beard. I bet you he could.
I mean, I bet he could.
Yeah, he
He's.
seems like a hairy dude. He just, the hair gene on top of his head missed.
Well, it's the Italian genes, bro. Italians can grow some good beards.
That's true. Very true.
So anyways,
I can grow a luxurious beard.
yeah.
It is not spotty whatsoever. The problem is, it will come in gray and red for whatever reason. No one in my family's red.
All right,
But
so fu
I'll have some crimson in there.
no, there's nothing wrong with that. So my beard is salt and pepper. Because this is actually part of the reason why growing up, I try to goatee and I try to mustache and sideburn this, but never a beard. Because my beard grows a lot of red hair. And so now that I'm older, I don't have the red anymore. The gray, the red has turned gray. So now it's just salt and pepper. But I always was kind of conscious about that growing up because I have very dark hair. Mm-hmm. Why do I have red hair on my face? You see what I mean?
Ah, gotcha.
So to me, it looked a little weird. So I was like, not going to do that. So, but once if you keep it trimmed, it didn't look red because the red would blend in with the black hair.
Sure.
Yes. But once you go luxurious, it doesn't do that anymore.
Oh, I get that.
Yeah.
My thing is, if it came jet white, my beard or goatee or whatever.
I would love that.
Dude, I would be all over that shit. I'd be the Silver Fox. Are you kidding me? With my neckerchief and my handkerchiefs? Oh, my God. I'd be ruling the day. I'd be looking like Mr. Cary Grant. Yes. I'd be like, oh, honey, we got to sell all these jeans and T-shirts. I can only wear three-piece suits. And then her first question to me, I'm sure you already know that, the question.
Nope. What's the question?
Do you need to wear three-piece pajamas? And of course the answer would be, yes, of course I do. I'm all in.
I hear you.
But I don't think it would be all silver. That's what I want.
I had this conversation with one of my coworkers recently.
The poop band?
No. This lady, she's not very old. She's in her 50s.
Okay.
But she is like full gray.
Nice. That's a statement, especially for a woman.
Absolutely. So
I'd say proud.
And I gotta say, I've known this lady for a while, but I never asked because, like, you know, you're not supposed to ask women about those kind of things, right? But we were talking about something, and it just like the thought came into me, and you know, I have no filter, so I asked her,
ask about carpet and drapes, did you?
No, I did not, because okay. I did not care about that. But I was very curious about her head. So I asked her, I said, look, I've known you for a while, but I've never asked, so don't take offense. Because, you know, I got to have my boss card on.
Of course.
Don't take offense. But
she pick up the phone and she had HR on speed dial at that point. She's like, absolutely, continue. Let me record this conversation from this point forward.
No, she did not.
I'm not a racist. But this is a good joke. And then you say the most racist joke ever. That's exactly where you're headed.
Right. But it's okay. I have a black friend.
Yeah, exactly.
My
best friends. They're Hispanic. So let me tell this horrible joke.
His name is Duan Hammonds. Check him out. anyway, so I was like, don't take offense, but I got to ask you. I've known you for a while. And I noticed, like, your hair is just white. Like, do you dye it that color, or is it naturally that color? And she gave me this big smile. And she said, no, it's all mine. Apparently, she started going gray, like, in her mid-30s. Mm-hmm. She was, like, full gray by 40. And it's genetic. Like, her mom is the same way. And, like, she's not, like, losing hair. She has very thick hair.
Sure.
It's
just silver.
And it's just silver. And it, like, it's so silver. Like, she had to have been dying it. You know what I mean? Because, like, you don't really see that anymore from people.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And she's like, no. She's like, I'm glad you asked. She's like, I love my hair.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I rock it. I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm asking.
That's great.
So we talked about gray hair because, like I said, my beard is going gray. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem with it. You know, I always tell my wife that I'm gonna dye my sideburns white so I can do the Reed Richards.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But she doesn't find that funny. She gives me the eye twirl.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That just means you're gonna do it.
Well, you know, my wife is very sensitive to those kind of things. Right. So let me tell you a story.
Wait, before you tell a story, I have to know your salt and pepper beard. Is it splotchy salt, or is it pretty well evenly distributed through your entire beard?
No, it's pretty well distributed.
Because, you know, there's some guys that have, like, little, like, areas on their face that's like, oh, wow, that's a completely different color
and
everything else. Okay, gotcha.
No, it's evenly distributed. And most of it is in my chin area.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
All right, so stories. This is my wife loves when I talk about her on the podcast.
Of course, hello Heather, welcome.
And you know I haven't been here in like a month and a half.
I know, so, she's been loving the episodes while you're gone.
Yeah, so I have stories to tell.
Perfect.
So this past Friday, last Friday, Zoe had a soccer. Oh no, it was Saturday. Zoe had a soccer game. So I go to Zoe's soccer game, and as I'm getting ready to go, I'm at the computer. I'm doing some stuff, and my wife sends me a text that she wants a cockatoo. And I told part of the story on the Valley Essential podcast, but nope. I'll tell the full story here, and then okay. the aftermath
okay.
of the story.
Did you say the horrible dad joke regarding a cockatoo?
No, what's that?
Do you want a cockatoo or a cockatree? Thank you.
Very good, very good. Where's my bell? I can't find anything, man. I redid my desk, and I moved my bell to a different spot, so I don't have easy access.
I haven't seen pictures of this office lately, so I can't even imagine.
Oh. Yeah, I'll send a picture. It's very purple. I did my keyboard.
Wow.
Well, no, it's all the walls are black.
Okay.
My desk is black. My computer's black. Mm-hmm. I have black soundproofing all around.
This all checks out. Yes.
But
how I pictured it.
But as I said before, I love Corsair products, and so I have a Corsair mouse and keyboard, and mm-hmm. And they have RGB lighting, so I set it to like a pulsating purple bluish color.
Nice.
And then underneath my desk, I have lights, and the reason I used to have them blue,
ooh.
Because my computer has a blue window on the side of it. But I was redoing my computer, and I found this wallpaper that I really liked, and it was black and purple mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I redid my computer with purple accents, the desktop itself, and I was like, well, now I need to make the whole thing match. So I switched my lights under the desk to a similar purple, and the keyboard and the mouse. I'll send you a picture.
It sounds like the stage lighting for Rick James in 1979. I love it.
Yes, it's like Purple Rain up in here.
Hell yeah.
Oh, is that the episode title? Maybe. We'll see. Too early to tell.
But go on with the cockatoo.
So she wants this cockatoo, and I'm like, no birds. You know, the dog collecting had calmed down.
Dog collecting.
Yes, after you know, we took Solomon to that lady. The dog collecting had come down and had not come up anymore. So I was like, cool, we're not going to worry about animals anymore. You know, like if we lived in a place where we could have like goats and chickens, I'd be down with that, right?
Yeah.
Because that's useful.
Yeah, but, 2 acres, that'd be great.
Yeah, perfect. But we can't have farm animals here, so it's a no-go.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want fish because I used to be a very avid fish keeper for many years.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't have the time for it right now. And so anyway, so she wants a cockatoo. And I said, no birds. And she's like, but I've wanted one since I worked at PetSmart when I was like 17. This, blah, 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 blah. She sends me a picture. And I'm like, babe, no birds. And so she keeps going about the damn birds. And I said, mm-hmm. listen, my grandma had birds when I was growing up. They're mm-hmm. loud. They stink.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why would you want to have a bird? You always talk about like saving the environment and like taking care of animals, this and the other, and you want to get a bird that's just going to sit in a cage all day? Like, that doesn't jive. You know what I mean? And she's like, but I really want this bird. So, of course, during this whole back and forth, she had already texted the person that had the bird. So she sends me a screenshot of the text, how they're talking about the bird. And
mm-hmm.
I said, well, fine, go look at the bird, but please do not buy this bird until you talk to me about it.
Will she keep this bird in a cage, or is she going to let the bird just have free roam of the entire house?
So the bird did have a giant cage because cockatoo's a big bird.
Yeah.
And it also had a perch.
Dangerous.
Yes. Which, of course, I don't want this bird in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, I totally get it.
But I'm slowly trying to have her understand. Here's the thing about my wife. We had this conversation also. I can't remember what it was. Oh, she made some comment about the government like shitting people on purpose. And I said, cool, like now we're on the same page. You're just like 7 years behind me right now. Okay. So
and then you tap her on the head and like, you'll be there soon, honey.
So I'm like, we'll talk again in 7 years about this. And then we'll be like on the same level. You know what I mean? Anyway, by the way, for anyone who doesn't understand the joke, my wife and I just celebrated our 7th wedding anniversary. And we dated for like 2 months before that. So That's why it's 7 years. Anyways, so I'm like, okay, go look at the bird, but like, please don't buy it until you talk to me about it. She said, okay. So she's still texting with this person, and then she texts me back and tells me this, that, and the other about the bird, and like, the bird can talk, and like, you can say this to him, and he says like this to like, PJ's a good bird. PJ's the name of the bird. PJ's like, PJ's a good boy. And like, they're teaching him how to say something else that like was hilarious. So I was like, fine, go look at the bird. Just don't get it. I said, how much is the bird? She said, $1,000. Now I will say this, like, we're not like hard up for money, you know what I mean? So right. I'm not concerned about her spending $1,000 on a bird.
Yeah. You could find the means.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I just got a very hefty bonus at work. So it's not even like it's coming out of my bank, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's already free money.
But that $1,000 would look really good on in a compound bow. That's where it would look nice.
You know, I could use part of mine to purchase a very nice $2,000 or $3,000 compound bow.
That's what I'm saying.
But I'm not, because I don't find money to be important. So I have not done that. Anyway, that's a whole different conversation. So but I just don't want her to spend $1,000 on this bird and then like her actually realize owning a bird fucking sucks. Right? Which she doesn't understand that, right? She wants the bird, so she wants to go get the bird. And I understand that feeling, right? I think that's pretty normal, right? Like, we all go through that, right? Mm-hmm. That's why it's very dangerous to go to a convention with your friends drunk. Because then you end up spending $1,000 on like random shit. And then,
wait,
like...
how did you preface that statement?
What? What?
Yeah, how did you preface that statement?
What do you
statement?
Mean?
Other than being the most awesome time that you had all last year,
I did have a fantastic time, and I hate that I missed this year. I hate that you missed this year as well,
buddy. Me and you both. Let's not even trudge down that hill.
We're not going that way. So anyways, but the thing is, like, I think a lot of times, right, especially nowadays, well, maybe not so much now with this coronavirus stuff. Maybe people will learn some lessons out of this whole thing. But I think a lot of times...
Are you saying the habit that I have of giving everyone open mouth kisses and back rubs while at C2E2 while wearing a banana hammock, that will be inappropriate next year? Is that what you're saying? Because of corona?
Yeah, social distancing, bro.
Damn it. Damn it!
You'll just have to mime your open kisses.
Or I'm going to have to get, like, not hand extensions, but something that I can attach to my hand. That would be long enough to give you a very awkward hug, so it still feels like an awkward hug, even though we're 8 feet apart.
Yeah, you need to get, like, one of those toy claws with, like, a 6-foot extension.
I need to finally develop a Machine Man outfit.
There you go. See? You got it.
Oh, dang it.
You got it.
Cosplay, I'm coming for you next year.
So, but you know, everyone always wants the instant gratification, right?
Yeah.
And like, if there's something that you want, you go out and buy it. Like, I'm totally good with that.
Sure.
Right? Like, I do it all the time.
Yeah.
But also, I've become very mindful of that, of like, when I do that. So I give myself some leeway before I do so. Like, for example, and this is a very stupid example, but I'll throw it out anyway. So the computer that I'm running right now, I built, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. Right?
Yeah.
So it's got outdated components.
Yeah, I know. I've been waiting to get a new one.
So one thing that I've been wanting to upgrade is the video card, right? Because as a person that games, you want to have something fantastic, right?
Sure.
So, like, I'll go to the store to look at them, and I'm like, yeah, I really like this one. But, like, do I want to spend $500 on this, right? Like, sure, it's going to last me probably another 5 years at least. But, like,
is that really what you think?
Absolutely.
Initially, that's what you think.
Initially, I say to myself, I'm going to go and buy this thing.
Okay? No, I'm saying when you're looking at it, because I never think that. I usually, like, the factor of money comes in maybe third.
Mm.
Where I'm looking at the thing and I'm like, the first thing, of course, is, can I find this cheaper online? I bet you I can find this cheaper. And then it'll roll around to, well, how long do I have to wait for it? Can I trust that place? I'm here right now. Why would I waste the trip? Okay, I have the money. Let's buy that. Like, that's how that impulse buy goes.
Sure.
I was just curious. I didn't know if you actually mulled that around, or were you just like, well, do I really want to spend that? Period. Well,
yes, I do exactly this because of the reasons I'm about to tell you.
Okay, cool.
So I'll go and I'll look at it and be like, do I want to spend $500 on this? Right? Because ultimately, in the back of my mind, I'm at a point where I rationalize, how much do I truly need this?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it purely something that I want just because I want it?
Yeah, right now.
Right. And so I do that. And so I give myself reasons. Like, I'm basically building a chart in my head, pros and cons. Okay. And I try to weigh with different severity, right? Like, some things would be more important than others.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, money is one thing you consider. If you're doing, like, let's say the graphics card as an example, like, is the power to dollar ratio worth it, as opposed to getting something that's, say, like $100 more that's twice as powerful, or something that's $100 less but like only 5% less powerful? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So all those
it's like you're building if then statements.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So all those things are going through my head, and I build this chart in my mind, and I weigh those options.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if I can't get one column or the other to be like 20% higher than the other one, then mm-hmm. I put it aside, right? Mm-hmm. So I weigh the options, and if the pros are not like the pro score is not way higher than the con score, then I don't get it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's mm-hmm. like the pro is like barely above the con level, then mm-hmm. that's basically like a 50-50, right? So I don't really want it. The other thing I do is I purposely do this to put myself in a loop where I can analyze this in the back of my head.
Okay? Sure.
Without being in front of the product. Because as you know, I try to keep things as simple as possible, right?
Mm.
And I remove a lot of choices in my life which aren't important. Like, what do I wear today? Well, I'm going to wear my black V-neck. That was easy, right?
Sure.
So this forces me to not get the product because I still have to think about it, right? I still have to weigh out the pros and cons. But I'm not going to weigh out the pros and cons like 24/7, right? It's not like, let me go home and think about it. And I sit at home and just like stare out in my backyard and be like, okay, like maybe like this is more important than that. So maybe like the cons do outweigh it, whatever. I don't do that. I build the chart and then I forget about it.
So you're not building the chart at the store. There is no impulse buy is what you're telling me.
Right. But simply being in front of the product helps me build this chart in my head.
Okay. And let me know when you're done with this example, because I want to build Mrs. F's cockatoo chart.
All right. So anyway, this forced me to go back home. I'm subconsciously analyzing this. Right.
Mm.
It's like on a computer running a background process. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I continue doing whatever with my life.
Sure.
And then, you know, a week later, it might hit me like, oh, like, yeah, this is better than that. So plus 5 points to this column. Right.
Would it also sell you in regards to your computer?
Mm-hmm.
Would it also be a quicker sell for you if one of those points was, well, I have to make Zoe a computer anyway? So I could just sort of give her this computer, which will totally do what she needs it to be done. And now I can go get XYZ components for my next computer.
Synchronicities, because Zoe was talking about building a computer.
There you go. Okay.
So this is a very likely possibility.
Because it's two birds, one stone. That would sell it more for me, because it's like, well, I'm going to be out this money. So the price, the really expensive price that I'm going to have to dole out for all these components now has just been cut in half, because I'm just sort of going to upgrade minor stuff for this computer to hand over to my daughter.
Mm-hmm. So this also like forces me to not fall into the trap of, well, I want it, so I'm going to go get it.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Because like, what if I get it and then I'm like, oh, well, I wish I would have gotten this one instead of that one.
Yeah. All of a sudden, January rolls around and CES premieres some computer product that's like, dang it, I wish I would have waited.
Well, not in 2020, but yes, I get your point.
I understand.
So by doing this, I can actually determine whether this is something that I really want or if it's something that I like, I just feel like having.
Sure.
Right? Because I can go like 6 months on this process. And again, I'm not actively thinking about this for 6 months, right? This is all a background process.
Yeah.
And then if like within 3 or 4 months, I still feel like, yeah, I need to have this, then I go out and get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? So like,
so there is no impulse for you.
So there is no impulse. By that point, it's a very conscious decision where I have like all the information that I need to determine if this is something that I need or something that just gives me like a temporary fix. And I just had this with my headset. So I've had this Logitech headset for, I don't know, a couple of years now. And it was my backup when I had my my XLR mic for recording. And then I fried that and I never went back and got another one because like it didn't last me very long, right? And for years I've just been using a headset and never had problems, right?
Gotcha.
And that gave me a problem after a couple of months. I was like, eh, not worth it. I'll just go back to a headset. So I used the one that I had for a backup. But as I mentioned before, I have this Corsair keyboard and mouse and stuff. And Corsair makes this beautiful headset, the Corsair Void Pro RGB. And it's number one, it's wireless. So that was a huge plus. And and it kind of matches like all my other computer accessories. So I've,
Mr. Aesthetics over there.
Sure. So I've wanted this since last summer. And originally I was going to buy it for myself for my birthday in September. And I went through this process and I was like, well, I'll hold off till Christmas. And then Christmas came around and I told my wife about it. And then when she was making a decision of what to get me, I was like, she's like, well, what about the headphones? And I was like, eh, hold off on the headphones. But finally this past weekend, we went out with the kids and we stopped by Best Buy and I saw them there. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to get them now. Maybe we'll see again. And then the week after, we went back out and we stopped by Best Buy again. Well, we always go in there just to look around, and the girls like going in there and playing the video games.
Sure.
We don't like go to buy anything usually. But anyways, and I saw the headset there, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get them. So I went and I got the headset. And it's not like it's a big investment either, right? Like they're not cheap.
Right.
I think the list price is $100. They had them for like 80.
That's not bad.
But it's not bad, right?
And they're, no, not they're, at all.
What is it? Sound, whatever the hell, where you can't hear anything outside.
Yeah.
That thing. And, it's nice. Like the mic mutes itself. You just like pull the mic up and it mutes itself. It's wireless. The battery lasts like a day, of talking.
Great.
So perfect. And,
so whenever you're eating your crunchy mushrooms, I won't have to hear it.
Well, exactly. Exactly. It has a button on the headset itself. What I do miss about my other ones is that the button was on the wire, and so that was right at my chest, and I could just click the button. Unless I wanted to purposely annoy you by eating crunchy chips on the podcast. You know what I mean?
Well, it is the Nerdy Legion Network, so.
So I got the headphones, and I love them. They
great
because it's that sound, whatever the hell, soundproof thing. It makes my ears really hot.
Ooh.
But they're very comfortable. So nice. You know what I mean? Like I purposely make it where something that I want, I'm not going to immediately get. And I didn't want my wife to go through that because I don't want in 3 months for her to be like, well, you were right. Like this fucking bird stinks. I got to clean shit every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't think that's something that's going through her mind. Right. Anyway, so she goes, I get ready. I go to the soccer game. And she's like, well, we're going to go see the bird. I said, all right, just make sure you text me, right? So I go to the game, blah, blah, blah. She texts me a couple times during the whole thing about the bird. And the game's over. We're saying bye to everybody. We get in the truck, start going. Usually we go to get ice cream afterwards.
Nice.
Zoe didn't want ice cream, so we're going to do something. I can't remember. We're going to get something else. And so I get a text from Reagan that the bird bit my wife in the finger.
Oh, golly.
So I thought it was hilarious, right? And so I made some joke about it. And then she texts me back a few minutes later that the bird bit her again. Right? So
she had an awesome list going of why she wants this bird. And now it's like, bird bites. That outweighs all of these positives. Like, I'm done. I'm out.
So I made a joke like, ha ha ha, just go tell her to get another Betty, right? Like Betty the or little dog, Betty White. She always talks about she wants like a house full of Bettys, and it's not going to happen, but she always says that. Anyways, so I made that joke, right? Like not thinking anything about it. So a couple minutes later, I get a phone call from Reagan. She's like half hyperventilating, right? And I can hear my wife in the background like crying hysterically. All right. So I'm like, what is going on? And she's like, well, Mama got bitten by the bird. And I said, all right, so what is going on?
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know. Mama got bitten by the bird, and then the bird bit her again. And then the bird chases around the house, and she wants you to get some Tylenol because we don't have any at home and get some Band-Aids. So I'm thinking to myself, like, this must be serious, right?
Yeah.
So I call my wife. She picks up. She's crying hysterically. F this bird, F this, if that, the bird, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to stop and get you some Tylenol. I'll get you some Band-Aids, and I'll be home.
She's traumatized.
I'm thinking to myself, like, this bird bit her hand off or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she's got a finger barely hanging on by a tendon.
Yeah, she's like, do I go to the hospital? Like, what do I do?
Does she have to amputate that finger?
Is my hand going to get infected, blah, blah, blah? I said, well, like, did you wash your hands? She said, yeah, I washed my hands before I left. I said, all right, just like do you have a napkin in your car? Yeah, I have a napkin. All right, just wrap it up in a napkin. It'll be fine. Just when you get home, take it off, throw it away, and just run your hand under cold water until I get there. Right? We'll be there a couple minutes apart. She said, okay. Like crying hysterically the whole time. Right?
Oh, my God.
So
that's got to break your heart.
So I'm thinking, like, what is happening right now? Right? Like this bird fucked her up.
She don't want no ice cream.
Well, and she's like, do I go to the doctor? I was like, no, don't go to the fucking doctor. Because last week, she – what was it? I'm trying to think. Oh, she was having, like, difficulty breathing, right? And she's like, do I go to the doctor? And so I asked her to describe the symptoms, and I'm like, no, you're fine. Like, just – you need to calm down. Like, she was just agitated from something. She's like, well, I'm having a hard time breathing, and, like, it hurts right here, like, in her back somewhere. I was like, you're just like making yourself, because my wife does have anxiety, right?
Sure.
And she's on medication for that. But a lot of times I think she doesn't take it and doesn't realize that she hasn't taken it.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so she goes to the hospital. I'm like, if you go to the hospital, they're going to give you a Tylenol and send you home. And then that's going to cost you $1,000 or whatever, more than that. Sure enough, she went to the hospital. They did like an EKG, like a breathing stress test and like this, that, and the other. Not a single problem. There's nothing wrong with her.
Right.
Okay. Except now I have like a $5,000 hospital bill. Well, probably not. I'm sure my insurance will take care of it. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
So I told her, no. Like, just stay until I get there, and then I'll decide when I get there. So I go. I get the Band-Aids, and I get some antibacterial spray, the Bactin. Not a sponsor. And we start heading home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get here. And I hear the running water right in the bathroom. I go I go in our room. Reagan's on the bed, like kind of half freaking out because you know my wife is bleeding on the sink or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "You're all right?" She's like, "No."
Right?
And so I'm like, "All right, let me see your hand." So she takes it out. I was like, "Is it still bleeding?" She's like, "I don't think so." I said, "All right, let me see your hand." So she pulls her hand out of the water and I look at it and. I was like, so where are you bleeding from? She's like,
Mr. Sensitive.
Well, no, I want to know where she's bleeding from. So where are you bleeding from? She said, right here. And I look at it and I said, where? She said, right here. And I look at it. I said, oh, okay. I'll put it back in the water. Let me see the other one. And so she gives me the other hand because she got bitten on two different hands, one on a finger on one and a finger on the other.
Oh, jeez.
So I said, right, let me see the other one. So she pulls it up and I look at it and I was like, where is it? And she's like, right here. I was like, oh, like right here? She's like, yeah. She's like, it hurts so bad. It was bleeding so bad. She's like, do I need stitches? I'm like, no, you're fine. Just put your hand back in the water. So I had Reagan tell me the story of what happened, right? So she was talking to the guy and she was playing with the bird and like gave the bird a piece of banana and the bird bit her in the finger. And then
thinking
like,
it was the banana?
I don't know. Who knows? And then, okay. like, And then a few minutes, like, they joked about it. And then a few minutes later, like, she went to feed it with the other hand the banana, and the bird bit her in that finger. And then, like, that one really hurt, so she went to wash her hands. And then, like, the bird got on the ground and started, like, flapping his wings and, like, chasing her all around the house. And,
oh,
like,
my.
She just, like, she ran out of the place with Reagan. And then, like, she could hear the bird, like, yelling and screaming, and the bird was, like, chasing the odor around the house now.
Holy cow.
Yeah, so the bird went fucking crazy. Anyway, wow. So that was the story. So this whole time I'm just, like, getting the Band-Aids out and getting the spray opened up. So I, you know, I cleaned it out and I put the spray on it and I put the Band-Aids on. One of them was easy with one Band-Aid. The other one needed two because of the way that the beak hit.
Sure.
So I put one on. She's like, that's not going to stay. I'm like, relax. I put on many a Band-Aid in my life. So I put in one Band-Aid and I did another one, kind of like an X pattern,
sure,
to make sure that they stayed on there. And then she was fine, right?
Well, is that the whole story, or at night did you go and grab out her copy of Stephen King's Cujo and put that on her pillow for reading material?
Well,
and baby, I know it's not a bird. I know it's a dog, but it seems sort of relevant.
So this might be too soon for some people. And I apologize if you're a sensitive Nancy. I don't give two shits. I had to make a coronavirus joke. You know what I mean? Because I had to.
Sure.
So after I got her all bandaged up and whatever, and she had calmed down. Of course, the whole time she was mad that I couldn't find where her paper cuts were. Like, Nick, they were literally paper cuts, right? where her paper cuts were and how badly she was bleeding and blah, blah, blah. Again, remember, my wife has anxiety, so I've become very good at kind of like remaining calm under this whole thing.
Yeah.
But after I got all patched up, Reagan started cracking jokes and I started cracking jokes and my wife was laughing, but also not laughing because she knew we were making fun of her. And she's like, really nice that you guys are cracking jokes when I just got attacked by a vicious bird. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Anyway, so I said, well, at least now you won't get coronavirus. You just get the bird flu.
No. Oh, God. I would have went rabies, but that's okay.
Mm.
Knowing that anyone would probably run to their computer and Google, can I get rabies from a bird? Is this crazy?
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, so my wife's fine, everybody. Don't worry. She's fine.
Oh, good. Thank God.
And like I told – I don't know if I told you.
Bird nightmares?
No bird nightmares.
Okay.
She did say she was going to call out of work on Monday because her finger hurts so bad.
that's because she's using that same finger to use her – to hit play and pause on her Netflix account when she's like, going on to the next video.
You're probably right.
So she is overextending that finger usage, I'm sure.
You're probably right. So so anyways. So this is the bird story, what happened with this bird. And of course, she did say very firmly that she will never ask about getting a bird. She said, fuck birds. I don't want to see a bird again my entire life.
Wow.
So mission accomplished.
I really thought halfway through that story, I really thought the second phone call was them at PetSmart buying a small dog. Just to be like, you're right. I didn't want a bird. Oh, and by the way, our new puppy is called whatever, Bob Hope.
Well, I knew that wasn't going to happen because, I mean, she was bleeding to death, Nick. The paper cuts were very deep.
That is true.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway,
daughter almost had to drive her home.
So that was very exciting. And of course, Reagan and I cracked jokes about our fingers being attacked by birds for a couple days, to which my wife just eye rolled a lot. And it's fine. Everything's fine now. Her finger's fine.
Good.
Actually,
no post-traumatic stress.
Until yesterday.
Oh, no. What happened? Did she get attacked by a squirrel?
Until yesterday. I got the biggest text message eye roll of my entire life.
Uh-oh.
But it's okay. You remember, in 7 years, she'll see things the way I see them, so it's fine. where's this text? Hang on. I got to find this text. Oh, man. Too many texts. Where is it? Okay. Here's the text from my wife.
All right.
It's really stressful for me to have damaged skin. It gives me the creeps. Okay. So this is a text that I get out of nowhere. Okay.
Oh, man.
At 3:19 in the afternoon. I'm at work, right?
Oh, some of the conversations we go through.
So that's the text that I get.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm a good husband.
So you just ignore that comment.
So I said, but you're beautiful, so who cares?
Aw, look at you, Mr. Romantic.
She said, her reply, thanks, but I'm talking about the bird bites.
Oh, okay.
Well, now, here's where things become stressful for her. Because, as you know, Nick, I meditate a lot. I've gotten some very different perspectives on life over the past year.
True.
So my reply was probably not the best. Maybe I went from greatest husband to maybe appearing a little insensitive.
Uh-oh.
But I thought it was fine.
Sure.
I said, you should quit worrying about that. It's not happening now.
Baby, just be present in the here and now, right now. That's all you have to worry about.
So I got...
Yesterday's yesterday. Tomorrow, that's in the future.
What's all happening right now, Nick? Anyways, she says, oh my God, I know that. Dot, dot, dot. And I said, then it doesn't matter.
You're trying to do some Zen meditation bullshit. She's just like, I want you to pity me right now. I hurt. I'm a survivor, damn it.
So her reply, ugh, forget I said anything to you, Jesus. I am the one bandaging my fucking fingers every day, so it matters to me. If it doesn't to you, then oh well. You know what my reply was?
Can I guess?
Of course.
Was it oh well?
My reply was, I did not reply until she texted me this morning at 10:05 a.m.
Oh, man. I thought your reply was just going to be like, okay, so we're still making pot roast for dinner tonight? Like, nope. Completely a different topic. Like, all right, well, I don't really care about you bandaging up your finger, but...
But see, here's the thing. Like, it's not going to rile me up, right?
No, of course
so,
like, not.
So the thing is, she wants pity for her bird bite.
Yes, if she's sitting there, like, unwrapping these gross bandages, which you know they're not gross, but still... Gross bandages, and then she has to like lance her finger and like drain out all the pus and fluid from, you know, an infected finger, then yes, I would be a little bit more supportive and you know, understanding. Mm-hmm. But that's just like you got a paper cut. That's going to take a while to heal. It's not going to heal in one day. So, but you complaining about it for the next 5 days, how much of that do I want to hear?
Well, sure. But at the same time, like, you see where I'm coming from? Like, what's the matter? Like, all right, so the bird bit your fingers. It sucks, right? Like, what are you going to do? Like, go back in time where a time before the bird bit your finger and be like, I'm not going to go see this bird because he's going to bite my finger. Like, you can't do that. So just let it go.
Maybe you need to try to convince her that she needs aversion therapy. Maybe she needs to get a bird in the house and live with the bird in the house for a month or two.
Listen,
to get over this fear.
I've been trying to convince her to do this mushroom meditation with me for a year. Just one time.
Sure.
Right? Just to see if it helps her any.
Yeah.
She thinks it's bananas.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't want to do it.
Of course not.
But in 7 years, she'd be like, you know what I should do? I should take some mushrooms and go meditate for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, okay. Right? It's like this whole thing. Like, I didn't say to my wife, well, I told you not to go see this fucking bird. Right? Like, that's not going to solve any problems, right?
No.
That just creates more stress.
Right.
So I just cleaned her hands and made a joke about the bird flu.
Ill-timed joke, but still, it was a good joke. It was a joke.
Hey,
it was solid.
She laughed. She laughed.
Yeah, it was solid. You know,
mission accomplished.
Right. You brought her
Yeah. But of course, like, you know, I think we're going to get to a point where, like, my wife is just not going to tell me anything. Because I'm just going to reply with some, like, Zen cone or something, you know what I mean?
Carlos Castaneda once.
Because, like, so this morning is
Carl
when...
Carl Jung once said.
I do love Carl Jung.
I know you do.
They're about to release a new translation of the Red Book, and I can't wait.
I know. We talked.
Yes, that's right. We did talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I didn't reply to her text yesterday, right? I came home. Everything was cool, right? Like, I didn't mention anything about the bird or the conversation.
Or her finger. Did you say, how's your finger going?
I did not ask about the finger because I didn't want her to be like, well, you didn't care before. So
that's true. That's a supportive trap that you could have fallen into.
Of course.
Good that you avoided it.
You need to be aware of the traps.
Yes.
So I didn't say anything. Like, it was cool. I asked her about work. I told her about my work. We talked about coronavirus for a minute, and it was fine. Like, we just chillaxed.
Yeah.
But this morning she texted me a link.
Uh-oh.
A link.
Okay.
From the Washington Post.
Ooh.
And then she put Dean Kuntz, The Eye of Darkness from 1981.
Oh! So she finally got that in her social timeline, huh?
It's getting to the normies now, Nick.
Yes, yes, yes.
I talked to her a little bit about that. And then there's another one floating around from Sylvia Brown. I know, she's bananas. But anyways, she did have something about this flu thing in 2020.
Sure.
Way
to go, Notre Dame's way to go.
Yeah, cocaine's a hell of a drug. Behold the Pale Horse. I don't know if you ever read that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of like what's going on now in Behold the Pale Horse.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, interestingly enough, because Behold the Pale Horse is based on like a completely different conspiracy theory.
Mm.
What is it? Project Bluebeam. So look up Project Bluebeam sometime. Bluebeam, excuse me. And Behold the Pale Horse is fantastic. Like, mm-hmm. regardless. It's a great book. I talked to her about that a little bit. And so she says, what is going on? ? Sad face, confused face. And I just replied, magic.
Ooh, good
come on.
One.
And then I said, come on, sigh for me. Because I knew that she was sighing as soon as she read that text message.
Of course. Then did you send her a link to Grant Morrison?
You know,
speech that he gave?
Here's the thing, Nick. Here's the thing. When we get into some of these discussions with my wife,
mm-hmm.
let me backtrack a little bit. I know I talk about this whole meditation and psychedelic thing somewhat often on the show. And I know
Whatever.
For a fact many people like don't care about it, or they think it's like woo-woo stuff or craziness. All I say is, for a very long time, I was a very staunch atheist. And then I had these experiences, and my whole world changed. So, try it one time, and if nothing happens, nothing happens. But I feel like some crazy shit happens in the world, and I think there's a lot more going on than we know. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Sure, sure.
But I feel like, at least
with
my
wife. But also
wife,
to those people that complain about your woo-woo. First off, you should just tell them, well, go get a podcast and you guys just talk about whatever you want. You don't have to listen to mine. That's okay.
Yeah, I don't care
but,
if you listen.
But really, could you keep a list of all those people who think it's woo-woo and don't want to listen to it? Because I feel like we should offer them cash refunds. Just create a list. I know you like Excel, so
see,
just start a list.
Missed opportunity, Nick, because we could have made a list. And then I could just write them out of the story.
Good call.
See?
Good call.
See? Missed opportunity. But anyways, I it's my wife, you know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
She's got no choice.
Yeah, she's stuck with you.
You know? And there's
yeah.
there's
and you her.
Sure. And there's plenty of things that happen to me in these altered states that I don't discuss with my wife.
Sure.
Because, when I mention some stuff that, I don't feel is that odd, she thinks, it's the most badass thing ever. So, imagine if I told her some of the stories of stuff
right.
that I see, right?
Right, right.
Like, she'll commit me.
You have a podcast for that. Just use the podcast. Use that forum. I want to hear all that stuff.
Sure, sure. So, I don't. And there are plenty of stories. Maybe for episode 250, we'll enter one of those worlds and we will talk all about it.
Nice.
But yeah.
But that's, anyways. I mean, to your, okay, up to your magic point. your wife sends this Washington Post thing. And I've done this with my brother. I've done it with my wife as well, where you know you're sending these people, both these people that you absolutely love in your life, you're sending that, you take the time out to go hunt down a link to send them because you think, this, they're going to like this. This will make, this will, you know, this will move the needle for them. Mm-hmm. But you know damn well, as soon as you hit send, you're like, the chance of them actually opening that up is probably 10%.
Sure, sure.
And the, you know what I'm saying? No, just because most exactly. people are like, oh yeah, cool, a link about magic. Come on.
Well, and not just
or
that,
a link
like,
about whatever, XYZ. Like, I'll be like, oh, God, you have to check out this guy. He's doing fringe science, and I'll send it to somebody. Or there's a topic regarding my father that I sent to my brother. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to him, like, a week later, and he was like, oh, yeah, no, I never got that. What was that about? And it's like, dude, I see that it was delivered in your IMs. Come on. It's like, when have I ever... And I'm going to answer this question as soon as I ask it. When have I ever sent you a link? Answer, maybe two a year. Mm-hmm. So at that point, you have to realize like, oh, I might be sending this because I know you're going to like this. Mm-hmm. Or it's relevant to whatever topic we're talking about.
Sure.
It'd be one thing, like me and you, we send links back and forth constantly.
Right.
So I get why you're like, I can skip out on this one. No big deal. He'll send another one in 2 days. But like my brother, I send two in 1 year.
Right.
Like,
right.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Right. You got to think too, like, so when I started having some of these experiences, I this is the reason why I don't tell my wife some of these stories. Mm-hmm. Is I had one where like it seemed fairly normal to me, right? Mm-hmm. And so I start explaining it, and she's asking me questions, and I'm replying a certain way, kind of like you said earlier, these like Zen sayings, kind mm-hmm. of. And so, and her immediate reply is like, "Oh, you're so woke," right? Which, like, I mean, it didn't bother me, right? It didn't bother me.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when you're I think when you're like entrenched in a certain point of view, it's very difficult to like explain like your own personal experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you're your own person, I'm my own person. We'll leave it at that. I'm not going to go into any of that. Like I can kind of like imagine how Nick Wetmore will react to a certain thing, right?
Sure.
But like it doesn't mean that I would get it exactly correct.
Oh yeah, right? For sure.
But I feel like I know you well enough where like I can make a fairly good estimate, right?
Yeah.
Not like 100%, maybe like 70%, right?
Right. And I would hope so.
For most things, I think that's about as good as you can get, right?
I think that's pretty good. That's accurate.
Whereas like if somebody asked me like, well, what's like, how does your neighbor experience whatever, like cutting the grass? Like, I don't fucking have any idea because I don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, I don't enjoy cutting the grass. So, at that point, like, how he feels would be, like, how I think I would feel, right? Because I have no idea. Mm-hmm. So, same thing. I think, like, there's certain things where you can, like, get an approximation. But I think there's some things where, like, it's so out of the ordinary that to try to explain to someone that experience, they can't judge it how you judge it because they didn't experience it. And so, the only rules they have to follow to make a judgment on it is the rules that they live their life on.
Yeah, like societal norms.
Sure. And you know, to my wife, the world is very real and material. And to me, it's the complete opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you try to explain some of these things, like I don't expect my wife to understand it at all. Right? Maybe in 7 years. But definitely not right now. Right? But,
right.
But I've seen this, like, since we've been together, I've seen this many, many times where like I'll say something and then a year later and my wife's like, no, that's stupid. And then a year later, my wife's like, well, like, what if this is true? And I'm like, yeah, we talked about this a year ago. That's what I told you. And you said it was baloney.
So you're living outside the matrix
No.
And in 7 years, she's going to be outside the Matrix.
No, I'm still in the Matrix. I mean, I'm talking to you.
That's true, but you understand the concept that I mean, I'm throwing out to you.
That's why my wife said I was so
like,
woke.
You see all the wiring where she doesn't see the wiring.
That's why.
But in 7 years, she's going to see the wiring.
Hopefully.
And then she's going to be like, what if all of this stuff isn't real? And you're like, that's what I've been saying for 7 years.
Right. That's why when she told me this thing about whatever it was about politics, I can't remember now. I was like, yeah, I told you that 7 years ago.
Baby, get with me.
But anyways, you know, she's like, oh, you're so woke, right? Like, how do I react to that? Well, number one, I said I'm not woke because woke is what, like, teenagers say to each other when they find out that, like, you know, checkered bands were cool in the 90s. Like, that's not right. Being woke.
Ska music had horns.
Right. And then the one that she didn't like is when I mentioned I can't be woke because when you meet the Buddha in the woods, you kill him. And she had no idea what I was talking about because she's never read that. Right? And for anyone that doesn't know what that means, it's a saying, a Buddhist saying, if you meet the Buddha in the woods, kill him. Basically, the Christian equivalent would be like, beware of false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like if you walk around saying like, oh, I'm so enlightened, I'm so awake, chances are that like you're the complete opposite, right? Because if you truly were at that point, it wouldn't matter to you that you're awake or enlightened, right? Because you would just be.
Right.
Right. So that's kind of the meaning behind that whole thing. So I tried to explain this to her, and I just got an eye roll because of course I would, right? Like she doesn't know what the fuck that means.
Yeah.
But maybe in 7 years.
Yeah. Right now she's like, he's speaking like he's a fortune cookie.
Sure.
And then in 7 years she'll be like, listen, I've been reading. Consider me woke.
Well, you know, so
or all of a sudden 7 years from now she'll be like, Stephen King's a hack, and you'll be like,
yeah,
welcome aboard. What took you so long?
Hello. She laughs because I do really love the movie The Matrix. Mm-hmm. You know, philosophical themes notwithstanding in that movie, I do think it's genuinely a good movie and very entertaining.
Yeah,
and so I do watch it several times a year.
Mm-hmm.
One of the few things that I rewatch often, and I watched it a couple of weeks ago, and she went outside to let the dogs out, and she made some comment about like, "Are you studying to escape the Matrix?" which, of course, no. If I was studying to escape the Matrix, I would be deep in trance. But anyways,
oh, so good.
Yes. So we had some very interesting conversations. When was this? This must have been maybe like 2 months ago. I started talking about something and she's like, maybe you're depressed and you need to go see a psychologist.
Oh.
And I'm thinking to myself, depressed? I'm like the exact opposite of depressed.
Yeah.
Right? And if I go see a shrink, they're just going to put me on medication.
Yeah, you're the Pauly Shore of the Carolinas. Come on, everyone knows that.
Anyways, that's a different story for a different day. but yeah, my wife and I have some very interesting discussions sometimes.
I love it.
Yeah.
I need more.
I don't know that she loves it. You know what I mean?
I need more Mrs. F stories on here. You know that.
I do wonder sometimes if my wife's like, why did I marry this guy? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Or like,
what obviously she knew marrying you. Like, oh, it's going to be a ride. But I wonder if she's like, holy Christ, this is still a ride. This roller coaster hasn't slowed down whatsoever. He's supposed to be getting like more reserved and like laid back in his older age, and oh no, he's still going.
Well, and I will say, I mean, you know, 7 years ago when we met, I was a very different person than I am now. Also, I didn't have a luxurious beard.
That's true.
You know what I mean? So, but like fundamentally, truly, there's a lot that has changed for me.
Definitely.
And I do wonder sometimes, right? Because I think like for the most part, my wife has stayed mostly the same,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think for a lot of people, that'd be good in every relationship, right? That's something that you hope for sometimes, because it can help you kind of like find a normalizing balance point. right? We're like, where are we going to be in 20 years? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, can we still have these conversations?
And so
you want each other to either kind of stay roughly the same or like grow in the same direction.
For sure. You don't want to grow apart.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't think my wife and I have grown apart. I mean, maybe in some ways we have, but I don't think like fundamentally I feel any different from my wife than I did 7 years ago. You see what I mean? I think maybe.
Yeah, maybe she's the grounding force.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, like you look at it like she hasn't like grown as much as you have, but maybe that's the whole point. Maybe she's the like grounded force, and you're the one that's growing, and you know, she's sort of the pot in the soil, and you're the plant that's growing. You know,
sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I will say, like, I feel like based on the way that I view the world, I probably am less affectionate than I used to be, for example. But I try to still show that I very much am in love with my wife as much as I can.
It's very important.
Just like in a different way. Like I remember when my wife and I first met, she told me all about the seven love languages and like blah 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 blah, and like that's fine.
Yeah.
Right. Like whatever works for you.
Maybe that's what she's saying about you now.
Well, and I made a point on our anniversary to tell her that, right? Because I do wonder, like, sometimes my wife feels like I'm going down this direction where, like, you know, can he feel the same way that he did, right?
Sure.
Over the years.
Sure.
And I think that's a legitimate concern. Welcome to Nick and Martin's Relationship Hour.
Nerdy Love.
Nerdy Love. Remember that show? That was going to be a show at one point.
Don't remind me. It's still a show in my head.
Well, it's a show right now.
Luckily, it's not with the person that I originally thought it might be. Mm, thank God.
That's true.
So, but hey, that's only for the people in the know.
Inside baseball. Mm-hmm. But I made a point when I gave her present and her card to tell her. And admit certain things that I know maybe she was thinking or wondering, right? Mm. And so I said to her, I said, I know like maybe the way that I act may seem a little stoic sometimes and somber, and maybe sometimes you feel like I don't care, not just like about her, but I just mean in general, like don't care about things, which is partially true.
Was this when you were singing Mary J. Blige's Real Love?
Yes, you got it. But I said, I don't feel any different for you right now than I did 7 years ago. And I want you to know that, and I want you to understand that. The way that I might express that to you might not be the way that maybe you want it to be. But, you know, I'm expressing it the best way that I know how.
Nice.
And she teared up and cried a little bit. So that was nice. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Yeah.
Mr. Romantic over there.
Because, I mean, it's important, right?
It's very important.
It's important. And I don't feel that my wife needs to tell me 24/7 that she loves me for me to know that.
For sure.
Right. But I do feel like my wife does need that reinforcement. So, of course, I'm going to give it to her.
Yeah. And at least you realize that in your partner.
Yes. Very good. Yes. Love languages. That's her love language.
Nice.
That's her love language.
Nice.
But yes. Enough about me. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, my friend.
Yeah?
Yeah, very good.
How's things in Chicagoland?
Oh, you know, things are every day's an adventure here. Trying not to wig out and being the hermits that we have to be right now. So,
Yeah. I think it's interesting right now.
Did you hear that video gaming is up 75%?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Do they sell toilet paper on PUBG? Is that what it is?
What?
Everyone's buying fake toilet paper on PUBG?
Yeah, maybe. No, I heard that that happened, and it was one of those like no shit moments.
Yeah.
Everyone's
at home watching Netflix, watching Contagion, and playing what's the game people play? Not PUBG,
Fortnite.
The other Fortnite. There you go. My father-in-law was playing Fortnite last weekend.
That's awesome. Yeah, oh, my God. That's
we had a barbecue at his house, and then one of my nephews was showing him all about Fortnite.
Oh my God,
And
that is hilarious.
he was very excited when he won a game.
Really?
Yeah,
Nice.
he sure was.
Oh, that's great.
No, I'm not surprised. The thing about these times, Nick, is that by default I feel like kind of an anchor around the house. Because of my attitude towards things,
Sure.
I think it's helping keep my wife very calm right now.
Good. Good.
So that's good. So that's
Yeah,
good.
Julie, the cruise director, I mean, you know, with her low immune system, like she cannot be engaged with that whatsoever.
Yes.
So she is uber obsessed with it to the point where she barely sleeps and stuff. Like she's constantly what-ifing. And it's one of those, like, yeah, but I hardly ever go out. You hardly ever go out. We're not the people that are engaging out in public trying to, like, I just don't see how that would happen, how it would spread to us. We're the people that the hospitals and all the scientists are like, yeah, stay isolated because if everyone catches this, there's no way, capacity will be to the max and beyond. So that's when it becomes scary. Like, we're following the orders, but in her head, she's just like, all it takes is one person, all it takes is blah, blah, blah. So it is a crazy Michael Crichton-like fright that's in her, but it is a real fright. That's just because of her low immune system.
Sure, which is understandable, right?
Yeah.
I don't, it's a weird situation right now, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is.
Should we, is it okay to talk about it?
In what regards?
Just like the general zeitgeist of things right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it's I'm gonna talk openly, and I don't expect anyone to agree with anything I say. That's fine if you don't. If you want to argue with me, by all means, just keep it civil. Otherwise, I don't care. I think there's some legitimate reasons to be concerned, right? It's like it's a new thing. People don't know what's going on. I think part of the issue is kind of like a very unclear message from figures of authority, right? Where like one person tells you one thing, and the other one tells you a completely different thing, and then the third one gives you a third opinion, and then the next week, like they all switch opinions to the other one's opinion. So you're like, well, like, what's going on? Can you just like give us some real shit?
Yeah, there's too many educated and completely idiotic orange hair people that should know better. And they're not offering up any structured advice as well as, hey, we have something called science. And you know what would be nice is just to get some scientific facts. Instead, it's like, eh, we're not going to test people. Eh, we're not going to do, eh. And it's like, well, we can't be an ostrich. We can't be burying our head in the sand. This is a little crazy.
Well, so that's part of the problem. Before I get to that, I just want to say, like, I'm not blaming Trump or anybody. So,
No, I'm not.
I just want to make that clear. That while I don't necessarily agree with the way the administration is handling things, I don't blame anybody for anything. Okay. So just to make
Sure.
that clear. If you think he's doing a good job, cool. If you think he's not, cool. I don't care. But like, it is important, right? Because people are very afraid, right? Everyone's buying like 30,000 packs of toilet paper for no reason. I mean, like, there's no reason, right? Did I miss it? Did I miss the memo? What, like, why people are buying toilet paper? It's just because they're saying that toilet paper is running out, so everyone goes and buys toilet paper, right? Like, that's basically the reason. Because like. So it's not like a flu thing, right? This is more like a SARS type virus. So there is some diarrhea symptoms, which I'm very surprised that like nobody talks about this, right? Like I think everyone right now is convinced that it's like a really bad cold or like a strain of flu. I mean, not to panic anyone because I know they made a big deal about SARS back in the day. What was it, like the 90s, I guess. It's a variation of SARS. Okay, cool. It is mostly respiratory disease. Cool. It can give you diarrhea. So in that case, cool. You need toilet paper. But you don't need 30 packs of toilet paper.
Right.
What you need is a bidet.
That's true.
Okay. I use three sheets of toilet paper a day.
Mm.
Three sheets, because I have a bidet. So get a bidet. It'll be a lot cheaper than toilet paper. But you still don't need it. Because guess what? If you get quarantined, like, you can eat toilet paper. So there's that. But yeah, I think the way things are being presented is not very good. Because it's not really informing anybody of anything, right? It's in trying to calm people down, all they're doing is making people more anxious.
For sure.
Because they're not giving you the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not just a U.S. thing, right? This is a worldwide thing. I mean, like, shit in Europe is crazy,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you need a pass to go outside in France right now,
mm-hmm.
right? If you don't have one, you can't go outside.
Yeah, I know a lot of my friends have said that their relatives in Italy can't leave certain towns.
Yes, like Naples is completely quarantined.
Yeah,
for example. I was just reading tonight that the UK is deploying 20,000 military personnel.
Mm.
That scares people.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I understand why a government might feel the need to do that. Right? Like, you're afraid, well, people are buying all the toilet paper. They're going to riot because they don't have toilet paper. So let's get the army out there, or, you know, the National Guard, for example, in some cities here in the U.S., to kind of help out with the relief effort, and if, like, something happens, they can kind of quell the rioting.
Sure.
The problem is, I think that response, if it hasn't become evident by now over the last, at least the modern era, that kind of response causes people to freak out more.
Sure, right? It feels like a police state.
Well, for one, it feels like a police state. For two, it's like, well, like, why is the army here? Like, this shit is more serious than they're telling me.
Right.
Right? And I think a lot of people have that sense right now, because everyone's tuned in to 24-hour news channels. And there's nothing going on right now because everything's shut down by the virus. So all they talk about the virus. And so people freak out because all they hear about is the virus.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the solution is to disconnect a little bit and think rationally. Okay.
Play Fortnite.
Yeah, play Fortnite. I mean, it is important to, like, get some mental escape right now. Right?
For sure. Yeah.
But, like, don't sit and watch Contagion on repeat for 24 hours either.
Amen.
Right? Like, that's not going to help you. Just educate yourself, get the facts, and decide for yourself. Because ultimately, like, that's the only way to really live your life, is figure it out for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you just go by whatever you're being told, then how's that working out for you? Everyone's panicking. So just relax.
Great.
And think about it. Think through it. Okay? Think through it. And don't let your neighbors or anybody else freak you out. Get off of Facebook, goddammit. All right, get off of Facebook. I wouldn't know, but I feel great not being on Facebook.
Well, yeah, but you felt that way for years.
No, this is true. So that's part of the problem, you know what I mean? And I think the major issue right now is with the way the messaging is being given, people are either thinking to themselves, like, it's the end of the fucking world, right? I can't mm-hmm. tell you, Nick, I live in the Bible Belt. I can't tell you how many times in the past week I've heard that Jesus is coming.
Ooh, okay? I'd like to see that.
It's the end of days. Jesus is coming. That's cool if you want to believe that. I'm not.
It'd just be nice to have a spiritual figure come down.
Mm.
That'd be fun.
I'll give you that.
It'd be just like if all of a sudden, like, Hulk appeared. Yeah, I'd like to see that. That'd be awesome. So, oh, he's busting up a building? Oh, well. But it's the Hulk. Look at that.
It is the Hulk. It'd be pretty cool to see. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Jesus. Be like, what's up, Jesus?
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And then on the other end, there's people are like, fake news. Like, the virus is not real. You know what I mean? Or, like, it's not as bad as they say it is. Right? Like, there's only, like, 100 people that died or 1,000 people that died.
Sure.
Right? Like, 20,000 people died of the flu this year. And only 1,000 died of corona. So why is anyone freaking out?
Right.
That's the problem. You know what I mean? Like,
or you get the people that are like, well, obviously this is being done for big business so that they can sell whatever, hand sanitizer and toilet paper.
Mm. So I made a joke to Ronnie the other day, because remember are you in that group? Yeah, you were in that group. He posted the Dean Koontz thing.
Yeah.
And you
saw my response to that.
Yes, 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 yes.
I mean, he is very fascinated with Timberwolves. So that's you wanna go down some paranoid stuff. I wanna hear why Dean Koontz is crazy about Timberwolves. Give me that information.
I mean, they are pretty awesome.
They are. But he makes them into mysterious spiritual beasts.
That's an archetype. You should read some Jung.
Oh, I know. I know it is. But I'm a little shocked it comes from Dean Koontz, bitch.
Well, that's true. Hey, you'd be surprised from a lot of people.
I like it.
Anyway, so the joke that I made to Ronnie is see you in /R conspiracy. Because he says,
yeah.
He said,
on Reddit.
Yeah, because I said, oh, did you get that from Reddit? And he said, yeah. And I said, all right, see you in R conspiracy. Which, by the way, I am in R conspiracy. I never post. I never comment.
You're a lurker.
Yeah, I'm a lurker. I go on there because I find it fascinating. You know I like to study people, Nick. And I find it fascinating, the things that people say on there.
Love it.
It's, if you want some crazy shit,
mm-hmm.
go on there. However, think for yourself.
Please think for yourself
because there's some crazy shit on there. But okay. I love going on there. I mean,
yeah.
Like right now, it's like 30 coronavirus posts a day, right? Like there's a new theory every 5 minutes, and they all contradict each other, but they're all true.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
And here's maybe some facts that'll back it up, maybe. And then out of those quote-unquote fact links, maybe 70% really are just opinion links, but they're cited as fact.
So you know what it is, though? It's confirmation
Anything
bias, right?
Anything can be a fact on Wikipedia, too, people. Come on. Let's not go crazy.
It's confirmation bias. Mm-hmm. I've thought about this a lot over the years. Because, you know, and we've talked about this even with Rob Krieger, because he's really into, like, reading about cults, for example.
Yeah.
Not because he's in a cult or wants to be in a cult, but like it's really interesting.
Andy wants to be in a cult.
Well, maybe. The cult of Geek Brunch.
Oh, I love that cult. I'm part of that cult.
I'm part of that cult too.
Hell yeah.
But anyway, we talked about this and I often wonder, right, like in order to get into one of those things, right? Mm-hmm. And I've thought about this a lot over the past year as I've had my own experiences, right? Like number one, like, are these ideas real, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are these ideas, like, things that are being told to me? And if so, like, why do I accept them, right? Or why does anybody accept them? And
are they being told to you or being told through you?
Sure, either way.
Hell yeah.
However
you
want to
see it. Are we talking about poltergeists now? Hell yeah! Or are we talking about aliens? And I'll say it again, hell yeah.
We're going to talk about aliens because I got to tell you about this book that I read.
Oh, good. Okay.
Legion
with Martin Ferdy and Nick Wetmore. Awesome.
But ultimately, like, it's got to come down to something, right? And I think there's a point where, like, you know, there's that nature-nurture argument, right? How do you, like, form your view on the world? Is it like something that you're born with, right? Like, are you born gay or do you like learn to be gay, right?
We've already discussed this, but go on.
Yes, but this is part of this conversation. So like, are you born that way or did you learn to do it that way? And I often wonder about that as adults, right? So like, what kind of person is drawn to like our conspiracy, right? Like, because those people don't all agree.
Oh god, no.
Right? So what draws them to that? Or like draws somebody to a cult? Or what draws somebody to like ancient aliens? Or whatever, Christianity, Buddhism, anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being a Republican or a Democrat.
Mm.
Like what draws you to that?
Yeah.
And like,
do you believe in Sasquatch or do you believe in Bigfoot?
Sure, exactly. Or neither, or both.
Yeah.
Because there's people that don't think that Bigfoot is like a physical being, right? They think it's like an interdimensional projection. I don't know if you've heard that.
Oh,
you haven't heard that one? You haven't heard that one?
Slash conspiracy? I'm going there right now. I never even thought about that.
Oh, ooh, no. You won't find that on there now. All that's on there right now is goddamn coronavirus.
You took your posts down about that? Damn it.
I've never posted on there.
Come on. Keep
nor
your
will
posts,
I ever.
Keep your posts up there.
I might post on R Psychonaut, though, but not on R Conspiracy. R Psychonaut.
The video game Psychonauts? I love that video game. It's a great video game, dude. I'm right there with you. Ken Schaefer? Or wait, is it Ken Schaefer?
Is it?
Yeah, it's Ken Schaefer.
God, how old is that game? That's got to be like 30 years old by now.
Yeah, at least 20.
That was a PS1?
That sounds right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it was PS1.
and they went on to do the awesome heavy metal game that starred the voice of Jack Black.
Oh, yeah. Huh. We should dedicate an entire episode to interdimensional
Oh yeah, dude, I want a t-shirt. I want that. I want a painted cover. That's what I want. Oh God, that's awesome.
All right, put that in the show notes.
Hell
So,
yeah.
but like, what draws people to that? And it's got to be like confirmation bias, right? I don't think, I think you get to a certain point in your life where like you're just going to be naturally drawn to like whatever you ultimately feel is true about the world, regardless of your upbringing.
You know, I heard something, and I don't know who to cite this to. I want to say it was Nick Kroll, and he was talking about ghosts. And I could swear that he said that because they asked, "Do you believe in ghosts?" And he goes, "Look, if I ever saw a ghost, or I knew somebody that saw a ghost, and then after that event, they were not talking about seeing this ghost 100% of their life." Then you know that ghost's fake. Because if I saw a ghost, I sure as heck wouldn't be talking about anything else. I'd be so hyper-focused on that ghost. And that was like, damn, that's a good way to answer, is ghosts real or not? It's like, you're right. I would if I had an alien encounter, that'd be the only thing I would ever be talking about. That would constantly be on my mind. But go on, proceed.
I don't know. Well, maybe that's why I talk about meditation all the time. Interesting.
Oh yeah. Hell yeah. I can't wait to share that with you on 250. That's all I know.
It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be awesome. And maybe at some point I'll share some stories.
Good. I
But
hope so.
what were we talking about? Oh, confirmation bias.
Interdimensional.
So yeah.
The interdimensional.
So like for myself, right? So I was raised in church. I mean, my dad was a preacher, right? He's still a very devout Christian. I'm not talking to my dad about my experiences. Because he might do like a exorcism or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe. But
You at a state.
I mean, I don't know. He listens sometimes, so maybe he knows. He
Hello,
just
Nelson.
doesn't say anything. Hello, Nelson. But like, so I was raised a certain way, right? So naturally, you would assume that like as I get older, that's the way that I would go. And that obviously wasn't the case, right? And that's also not the case for a lot of people. And this happens for anything, right? Like, you can grow up and be a Democrat or a Republican and at some point switch to being a Democrat.
Sure.
Whatever, right? Because these are all like belief systems. I think if it's something like more biological, then obviously that'd be a little different, right? But ultimately, it's kind of in your mind. Did we talk about that lady that thought that she was supposed to be blind? We've talked about her, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So she like tried to put acid in her face to blind herself or whatever, and she found somebody to like cut her eyeballs out or something. I don't fucking remember. But then she was really happy, right? Because now she was the way she thought she was meant to be. And I think ultimately, like if you find that thing that you feel like you're meant to be, then that kind of trounces all other things. You know what I mean? So you can go from kind of one extreme to another on those kind of things. And I think that's really interesting. And I think maybe that's the reason people experiment with some of these things, right? Like hippies in the 60s, when they grew up, they weren't hippies anymore, right? Like they weren't just chilling, taking LSD and smoking pot all the time. They became very hardcore church-going Republicans. You know what I mean? But like that's kind of maybe an experience they needed to have in order to figure out what it is that they wanted to be. Right, and a lot of times it's not like a conscious decision. You can make it a conscious decision, but a lot of times it's not, right? Because ultimately, Nick, if you hadn't figured this out from this coronavirus, we're still just monkeys with computers, bro. We're still.
Internet companies that want to throttle that band.
Yeah, you throttle my band.
Jerks.
But ultimately, let's say, and we talked about this shortly before I was on hiatus. I was talking about people being smart enough to, like, build pyramids, right, 5,000 years ago. And this has been in my mind, Nick, because with the way things are going now, I do wonder how the fuck did we get here? Right? Because there are so many people that, like, can how do they even tie their shoes? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So how is it that we can get to this place? And I do have an answer for that. We're not going to talk about it today because I think we've gone woo-woo enough for a lot of people today.
No.
But we'll talk about it some other time. I think there is still a way to get here with the majority of people, like, barely having the skills to survive.
Barely.
Barely.
Will this be, at the end of the day, a survival of the fittest?
So I don't see this as, how do I want to phrase this? I'm going to phrase it however I want. So I don't see this as an end of the world scenario, right? This is not
Well, I
one of
didn't
those.
say that.
Well, I know, but there's people freaking out, so
I understand.
it's not like Walking Dead, right? Like, we're not going to wake up
No.
tomorrow and there's going to be like 12 of us left,
Right. No.
right?
No way.
Like, are people going to die? Yes. How many? I don't fucking know,
So,
right?
yeah.
A million, 2 million? Like, it's a shit ton of people, but, like, there's 8 billion people in the world. You know how much 8 billion is?
Right.
You know, if you spent like $1,000, if you were born, if you were Jesus right now, you're Jesus and you're still alive, okay? Not in
Well, he's
heaven.
coming back. We
Well, he's
said
coming
that.
back. Not in heaven. I mean, like, right now,
Right.
right? Like, he never left. If
Would
G
Jesus come back and immediately pick up a smart device and be able to like rock that shit out?
I don't know. You should read that
Would
comic.
he just have the wokest social channels out there? Would he be rivaling Wendy's Twitter account?
If he was punk rock Jesus, maybe.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
What's the new one? They got the DC canceled, and then they went somewhere else.
Mm.
Second coming. Second coming.
Yes.
Very good, by the way. Like, really, really fucking good. Shame on DC. That's a fantastic book. Anyways, if Jesus were still, he never died. He's been here for 2,020 years. If he spent like $1,000 a day, right? Like, that's more than the average person makes in the U.S. $1,000 a day. He still would not have spent $1 billion, right?
True.
8 billion is a lot. Eight billion people is a lot of people. 1 million is a very small percentage of that, right?
Sure.
But we still are very much tribal. Again, monkeys with computers. So, when one person dies, that's too much,
Yeah.
right? So it's still a big hit. But
For sure.
ultimately, like, in the bigger picture of things, it's kind of irrelevant. Okay? I'm gonna be that guy. Call me insensitive later. At Geekvine, feel free. A lot of people are gonna die, but in the bigger picture of things, it's not like a whole lot of people. And then we'll just move on. You know what I mean? Like, we've been through hundreds or thousands of outbreaks that killed a lot of people. We're still here. We've been through ice ages and we're still here. We've been through global warming. We're still here. We've been through comet strikes. Still here. We'll still be here, right? I might not still be here, right? You might
We've
not.
been through the era of Andrew Dice Clay, and we
Oh,
survived it. We
Jesus
survived
Christ.
it, guys.
That almost killed everybody.
Right. And you know what else we've made it through? Aerobics.
Taibo.
That's true. Very true. Yeah. Sweating to the oldies.
DDP yoga. No, just kidding.
Well, we're still in that glorious age.
People are still gonna be here, right? Like, individual people might not be.
For sure.
And that just kind of goes in how you feel about things, right? Do you have a very materialistic paradigm, or is your point of view different? So I think ultimately, as humanity, we'll be fine.
Sure.
We'll be fine. My concern is not so much like the virus, right? My concern is the reaction of people to the virus. Because, Nick, I love zombie movies.
Yes.
And I'm not saying we're all going to turn into zombies, but we might.
Are you telling all of our listeners to go watch 24 days later?
28 days later.
28 days later?
I mean, maybe.
Okay.
It's a great documentary.
Oh, hey.
But what I'm saying is, I've seen basically every zombie movie ever made. At least one, sometimes multiple times. And what I like about them is the very, when they get it right, you get the very visceral reaction of, like, yeah, this is what would happen, right? In terms of how people react. And I think that's, for example, why Romero was like so big, not only because he kind of shaped the genre very early on, but because like he got the human aspect of it, whereas a lot of movies in that genre kind of focus on zombies eating people element. And sure. That's what makes them not as good, right? Because people love the drama, right? And those movies get the human drama. But yeah, you mentioned 28 Days Later. I mean, that's a great flick. The sequel's also fairly good, 28 Weeks Later. And they're supposed to be doing the third one finally after all these years, 28 Months Later. Can't wait.
Oh.
But people be people, Nick. People be people.
Yeah, as Depeche Mode once said.
Yeah, absolutely. And we don't do very well under stress.
No.
We don't. So that's why people hoard toilet paper. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The people that will do well are the people that will share their roll of toilet paper. And the people that don't do well are the people that buy 18,000 bottles of hand sanitizer.
True.
Okay. Did you hear about that guy?
I heard about the guy who's selling it now. Yeah. So
this guy and his brother went around all of Tennessee and Georgia, I think, and ended up buying like 18,000 bottles of sanitizer and a bunch of other stuff. Set up a store on eBay. eBay shut them down for price gouging. Set up a store on Amazon. They shut them down for price gouging. This got the police involved. And, of course, now they couldn't sell any of it. So they ended up donating the 18,000 bottles. Why couldn't you just fucking do that in the first place? You see what I mean? So people be peopling, Nick. But when you help each other, this wouldn't be a problem. So I'm not concerned about people dying. People are going to die. I am concerned about how people will treat other people.
Sure.
Right. Oh, go ahead.
Back to your original point.
Yes.
You said this is going to be a poopy disease. Are you telling our listeners to avoid Taco Bell at all costs?
Well, it's drive-through only right now.
Right. But still, you're going to have the poopy problem.
No, actually, I had Taco Bell today.
Okay. And you survived it.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Have you gone to White Castle and had the shrimp nibblers yet?
No, we do not have White Castles here.
Okay. Well, see, you're already up on the game.
And that would not be coronavirus. That would be White Castle disease.
The nibbler virus?
Yes. Okay. You got a White Castle, it's automatic shits.
That's on you. If you like your own hands and enjoy those nibblers because they are delightful, then you.
But anyway, so yeah, I'm concerned about the reaction of people, and I'm concerned about when things normalize for society, to be honest.
Sure.
Because every time a big crisis like this happens, you always tend to have the big hand of the law coming down on things to protect people, because people are so fragile, they can't protect themselves. I think that should make it fairly obvious how I feel about this. And I think we're going to see some very not cool things. You know, I'm very much about the privacy thing and all that. I think all that's going to be going away once we get through all this stuff. And that, to me, is more scary than a coronavirus.
That is scary, for sure.
But anyways, Podcastinople is being built at the moment. Select few will receive GPS coordinates to its location.
Okay, all right.
We're all about freedom. Anyways, so that's my spiel on coronavirus.
I like it.
Yeah. I am helping my wife be at ease. She asked me about hand sanitizer. I told her I called one of the stores. When they get some in, I'm friends with the guy. When they get some in, he's going to give me a call and let me know. No problem.
Good.
Okay, so that's taken care of. But of course, this led to another discussion I had with her, which I think should also be concerning, and I think something that nobody's talking about. You mentioned earlier survival of the fittest, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this works for everything, Nick. So
it does.
It's something to think about when you know, I saw a video in China. They're like literally spraying sidewalks with like Lysol, right? With one of those sprayers, twice a day, in the morning and the evening.
Sheesh.
That's concerning to me. Because if we take survival of the fittest to a virus, you know, like Lysol kills 99.9% of whatever it says on the label.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't kill everything. Why doesn't it kill everything? Because there's some things that are just immune to whatever you're trying to kill him with.
Right.
And those things replicate. So my concern is if everyone's so freaked out about disinfecting things and we disinfect everything all the time, then at some point we're going to have something that we can't kill by disinfecting it.
That's true.
And that's really when the problem's going to be a real problem. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
For sure.
But it doesn't mean we won't be here. There will still be people that are totally immune to it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's people that are immune to HIV, for example. Like, it happens. Right. Mm. Does that depress you?
In what way? What do you mean?
I'm just curious.
What part depressed me are you talking about?
I just feel like sometimes, like, I listen to things, and matter of fact, I saw this recently on YouTube, for example, where, like, nobody was talking about it, right? Because YouTube wouldn't let you monetize anything relating to coronavirus, with good reason, right? Because you can spread misinformation.
Sure.
But they've kind of eased some of those things so people can get information out. And now I see like a bazillion things coming out, mostly good information. But it also just seems so dry. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, well, make sure you wash your hands and do this and do that. Like, that doesn't seem very relatable. You know what I mean? Like, getting information's good, but like, how do you get that information, right? Like,
but they are trying to make that relatable, for sure. They're dumbing it down to make it as simple and easy that a 5-year-old would understand to wash your hands for 20 seconds and don't touch your face. You know, it's like they're giving basic bullet points, which I'm sure is going to help in the long run.
But you know, we have such short memory spans, people, right? I mean, we had a pandemic 100 years ago that nobody talked about for 80 years until now because, you know, there's some similarities, right? Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody talked about it for decades and decades, and millions of people died.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like 100 million people died from Spanish flu. No, that was Black Plague. It was like 30 million. That's what it is for Spanish flu. That's a lot of people.
Sure.
And just now we're talking about it. Like, we could be doing something against these quote-unquote threats the entire time, and we don't, right? You have something like 9/11, and people forget about 9/11, right? For you know, remember when 9/11 happened for like a month or two? Everyone's like, love and peace. Let's hug each other, right? You don't have money. I'll buy you a dozen eggs. And then all of a sudden, it's like, fuck you, like my shit, right? Because we forget. Yeah,
life moves on after a while.
Sure, but my point is, a lot of times we don't learn from those lessons, right?
For sure.
Because
you just hope looking back 200 years, did we change a little bit as a society?
Mm. And I don't know if we have, Nick.
Well, you hope.
Always hope. Always hope. Yeah. But anyways, interesting. I hope everyone's staying safe. We're staying safe.
Good.
I think, I guess. Reagan's home. Well, the kids are home. So Zoe's with her mom. She's very bored because, you know, she's kind of a little ADD. But they're doing like online classes now, so that's cool.
Yeah, luckily they can do that.
Yeah, at least they're still doing stuff. But outside of that, nothing, man. Nothing.
Yeah, you gotta wonder, like, this is only the first week. Like, how are people gonna be 5 weeks from now?
Yeah.
If you can't entertain yourself now, holy Christ.
Yep, that's true.
As a parent,
Yep, that is true.
Or God forbid you're not in a great relationship, because holy Christ, I'm sure this will be testing plenty of people's relationship.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. Let's switch topics. Let's switch topics.
Yeah, feel free.
So I read this
your
book.
Show.
I read a book.
Okay.
I read Whitley Strieber's A New World.
Yeah, tell me. Communion Part 2.
Yeah. Basically, it's the sequel to Communion. Did you ever read Communion or watch the movie?
I read it. I didn't watch it.
Okay. So I read it and watched it, but it's been a long time.
How was the movie adaptation of that? I never watched it because I just assumed it wouldn't be as engaging as the book.
Well, it's not.
Okay.
I mean, it's a movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have to make it more entertaining.
Sure.
But I think it's still a good movie. I think it's a great movie. Starring Christopher Walken as Whitley Strieber.
Okay. And how was the sequel? I didn't even know there was a sequel.
To the movie?
The book you read. Oh, I didn't even
know. So A New World just came out. It came out in November, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very recent.
Wow.
I didn't know much about this guy, right? So I watched the movie. I read the book, Communion, I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I knew about the guy. Matter of fact, I didn't read the book till much later because the movie came out, I don't even know, like early 90s, I guess. I didn't read the book till, I want to say college, so it had to be early 2000s.
Okay.
And I don't know, like, the guy was doing anything, but apparently he's like a radio host. He's been writing, he writes a lot of fiction novels, and he's done a few nonfiction things based on his experiences, the communion experiences. But A New World is like the first true sequel to the book, because I think he hadn't done any in a while. His wife Annie died in 2015, and between that and like him finding some of his journals from his original contact experience, he ended up writing this sequel, A New World. And it's really interesting. Again, I haven't read the book in two decades almost, I guess.
Sure.
But I do remember it. And when I finished The New World, I thought about, like, what an interesting journey this guy has had with this experience over the past, whatever, 30, 40 years. I don't know when that first one came out. And, like, how it's evolved. And I think that's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And for anyone that has no idea what communion is, basically it's like an abduction story. It's not really an abduction story. I guess just like alien contact, right?
Yeah, it was one of the first thing that really grabbed a lot of the general public.
Yeah, mainstream. Yeah. One of the first big mainstream stories.
Definitely.
Interestingly, did you ever watch the movie The Day After Tomorrow?
The old movie?
No, The Day After Tomorrow. It came out, I think, in the 90s. Who starred in it? Let me see. Hang on.
Was that Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yes.
No, I never did, because it looked like a apocalyptic type film.
It is. Basically, it's the world goes into an ice age.
Mm, okay. That's probably why I didn't watch it.
All right. So apparently that's based on one of Whitley Strieber's fiction novels.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I had no idea, but he mentions it in, Dennis Quaid, Jake Gyllenhaal, Emmy Rossum. He mentions it in the intro to A New World.
Huh. Okay.
Anyways. So, all right. So communion. So yeah, so this guy basically is in this cabin in the woods, and there's like lights outside and like aliens show up, and they like kind of experiment with him, but they talk to him and they like try to give him a message about like their contact and like the future of humanity, this and the other. Little woo-woo-ish, right? You don't get some of that in the movie. But like that's basically the gist of the story. Okay.
Okay.
Great book. I recommend reading it. He's a great writer.
Mm,
regardless of what you think about the content, just read it as like a fiction story if you want. It's really interesting.
Okay.
And so that's that. And, you know, he's just been the communion guy basically the entirety of his life, right? His adult life.
For sure.
He went on, like, talk shows and, like, all kinds of stuff, right? And everyone's just, like, making fun of the crazy alien guy.
Yeah, but he was on legitimate talk shows,
too. Legit talk shows.
Yeah, daytime talk shows.
Yes.
On TV.
Yes. And,
not on Cuckoo Radio.
Yeah. This is not like he was on, Joe's Pirate Radio.
Right.
And all over the world he was doing interviews.
For sure.
And every time he did one, like, the audience makes fun of him. But he doesn't care.
Maybe a segment, but I guarantee you there's another segment that absolutely is on his every word.
Yes. Basically him trying to find out, like, what the hell happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, is what it is.
Yeah, questioning everything.
Yes. And a lot of people dismiss it because, the way his experience pans out is very different than a lot of other contact stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think, when people are like aliens, they think like, well, UFOs flying in the sky or like, what's the one, fire in the sky? Like the light shines down from the sky and you get abducted and like they cut you open and like, make women pregnant and take the babies to make hybrids or whatever. Like, people think of that kind of stuff. And his experience is not at all like that. His experience is much more, I guess I'll say metaphysical, right? Because like the beings are there, but they're not necessarily like corporeal, right? They don't have like physical bodies. So they're more like interdimensional things, but they're aliens. Like they're still kind of gray aliens. They're the big eyes. Not interdimensional Sasquatch though. But so that's the experience. And the
Yeah, it changed his outlook on a
yes.
lot of things. So, yeah.
And so he's gotten some flack or a lot of flack from certain segments, including even within like the UFO community, right? Where like to a lot of people he comes off kind of a sort of like a paranoid schizophrenic, right? But like very high functioning paranoid schizophrenic, because he is very logical and very calm and collected when he's telling his story, but some of the things are just seem ridiculous, right?
Sure.
With like beings just appearing out of nowhere, or like he's laying in bed and like one of the aliens is next to him, or like he goes to bed and he wakes up and he's like on a spaceship and there's this like Spanish looking human alien hybrid woman that like telepathically communicates with him. Like there's a lot of crazy stuff in his stories.
Sure.
So it rubs some people off the wrong way, including people that like genuinely believe in aliens. But he doesn't care, right? Like he truly believes 100% what he's talking about,
Yep.
or at least it comes off that way.
Definitely.
And so I read A New World, and it's a fairly short read. I can't remember how many pages it is, but I mean I read it in a couple of days, and it's kind of an evolution of all that because of the way people reacted to his story that he wrote into Communion, the way people reacted to him publicly. The guy like doesn't do interviews anymore. He doesn't do interviews. He rarely talks about these things publicly. He might like discuss them in his books, but not like in a public format, because people just think he's crazy. And
Sure.
he feels like this 1000% happened to him,
Yeah.
right? And like that's his reality. So
Right.
why who cares, right?
Yep.
So this is kind of a sequel to that, and he explains kind of why he wrote the sequel, and I mentioned some of that earlier. And his wife has always been very supportive of him, even through all this stuff, which I think is great. I think she may have co-written some stuff with him through the years as well. And he talks about basically like the past, whatever, let's say 30 years. Like, it might be longer, but let's just say 30 years since Communion came out. Like how his experience has been with these entities, because for a lot of people they feel like, oh, like the aliens came down and talked to Whitley Strieber and then like they got in the spaceship and left, and you know, according to Whitley, that's not at all what happened, right? Like they still show up and talk to him about certain things,
Oh, wow.
and it's not like every day Whitley goes to bed and like aliens show up, right?
Sure.
It might be sometimes months or years before he has some kind of contact. But he tells a lot of these stories about communicating with these beings and going on the ships, and sometimes like he does come off a little paranoid. Like I'm gonna make an example up because I can't remember one off the top of my head. But like let's say he goes to the doctor and like he feels like one of the aliens is there, and like this person is sitting there, and all of a sudden it's like talking to him about whatever, humanity's destroying the Earth. And it's like one of these alien beings channeling through this person and talking to him. So again, some of it does seem a little weird, but it's really fascinating the way he relates it, and that's why I want to go back to. He's a great storyteller, and he narrates his own book as well. So that's very cool because you kind of get the personal emotion behind some of these things. And he even says on there, like, some people think I'm crazy because I say this thing and like whatever, like this is what happened, right? And I think that's very true and genuine, right? Regardless of how you might feel about the guy personally, I think the story is really captivating, and I do recommend the book quite a bit. It's a very different kind of alien story, and you know, I talked a little bit earlier about kind of the evolution of some of these stories. It seems like some elements of this relates to death, and these beings kind of being sort of in the afterlife, and some of them like being people that are no longer here, because they all live in kind of the like this different dimension kind of thing. I don't know. It's very hard to explain, but I thought the book was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Again, some stuff does come off a little woo-woo, right? Like when he starts talking about aliens say we're destroying the planet. Like, that's something that we've been hearing since like the 60s, right? The aliens are
Sure.
here because we're destroying the planet. Like the nukes or whatever. They want us to stop nuking each other.
Right.
By the way, I'm surprised in our conspiracy, there's been no mention of aliens spreading coronavirus. That is very disappointing, Reddit.
Well, they might. You never know. It might just take a little bit of time.
So
That sounds like
anyways,
a really good book, though.
A New World. Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. Very recommended. I listened to it on Audible, so I know some people will be like, you didn't actually read it. Fuck you, I read it on Audible. I listened to it on Audible.
Right. But was he a good narrator?
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah, very captivating. And again, because like he's so sure of his story, it comes up very genuine. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Which, a lot of fiction books tend to come up very dry, because like it's somebody else dictating somebody else's story. But because he tells his own story, I think it makes it a little more interesting. Yeah.
I like it.
And outside of that, I am still working through Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Boy, oh boy, is that a book.
Is that a long one?
It is just shy of 1,000 pages
Oh, oof.
in like 10-point font.
And I'm sure you have to reread parts of it just to make sure that you grasped it.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, this guy starts with like ancient Egyptian religion and like works his way up to the present. It's pretty hardcore. I'm really enjoying that.
It sounds right up your alley. That's great.
Yep, very good. So one day I will finish Manly P. Hall's book. That might take a while.
Nice. I can't wait to hear that book report.
That would be a 30-hour episode, Nick.
That's okay. I have time. I'm here.
30-hour episode.
Yeah,
I do want to talk about how much. Do you have time, like right now?
I have
How long have
time.
we been recording?
A little less than 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's not that
No.
bad. I wanted to talk about this movie stuff that's going on right now, because I think it's really interesting.
That I Nosferatu'd it?
You Nosferatu'd it.
Yeah, on the last Nerdy Legion
Oh,
episode with Ronnie Farrow. I predicted it.
yes, you did. Sorry, it took me a second. You said Nosferatu, and I was like, are you sucking blood? You meant Nostradamus.
Nostradamus,
Yes,
yes.
Nosferatu is a vampire.
I could be that too. You
Which,
know
by
it.
the way, Shadow of the Vampire, everyone should see that movie.
Nice.
Yeah, it's, oh God, what's the guy? Oh shit, I really like that guy. He does fucking weird ass movies. Shadow of the Vampire. John Malkovich.
Oh.
John Malkovich playing Nosferatu.
Ooh.
It's a movie about the filming of the Nosferatu movie.
Ooh, I'd like that.
Except while they're filming this movie, if I remember correctly, while they're filming this movie, Nosferatu kills the actor playing Nosferatu and starts acting in the movie himself. And he's a real vampire.
Sheesh.
Yeah, Shadow of the Vampire is very good.
I wonder if that's streaming anywhere. I might have to look for
That's a good question. John Malkovich and Willem Dafoe. There you go.
it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very good. Yes, you Nostradamus'd it. That's exciting.
Yes.
There's a lot of talk about how this whole thing's going to change society. I truly hope for the best. This is one of those things where I truly think it's for the best.
I think this is going to. I don't think there's any way it goes back.
Right?
I think it broke down just like video games. Video games needed a few games to all of a sudden sell gangbusters digitally for them to be like, well, why are we putting this out? Why are we spending all that money to put physical media out there when obviously the market supports digital? And I think it's the same way. I think it takes one or two big movies to come out same release day, and now they're being forced to do it. And I love that Columbia said, you know what we're going to do? On the 24th, what, a week from now, they're going to be releasing Bloodshot.
Hell yeah.
And you can buy it or rent it, I believe. But I think even to buy it is like $19.99. So it's not even like they're charging a crazy price. But I think this is really going to show, especially like right around the corner is like big movies. I mean, you don't think it might not be our demographic, but Trolls did really good business. And if they release that digitally, which I think right now at this point, it's only being pushed back. But if they just say, ah, screw it, let's release it digitally, I think, especially with, I mean, everyone's at home looking for entertainment. I mean, this Friday in 2 days, it just so happens that Animal Crossing as well as Doom Eternal comes out. And those two are gigantic games. And now that all these people are sitting at home, why wouldn't you want to play? Everyone, why wouldn't they all want to play Animal Crossing with their kids? Their kids are at home, and now we have extra time, and it will sort of entertain the children instead of just watching TV all the time.
Yeah, I started playing Doom last week,
2016?
2016, yeah,
Oh.
to prepare for Doom Eternal. Man, that game is hard, dude.
Dude, that game is an effort. That game. That game expects to treat you like a bitch.
Yes, it does.
It is old school in the best of ways, as well as innovative, as well as very compelling. Even I never even finished it, but just the loop of it, how you get ammo, how you get health. It so smart to have that related to not really picking up things, but the way you kill enemies. Oh, so good. But I think digital movies, dude, this is going to break that ceiling where I'm sure Regal and AMC sort of has them over a barrel of you can't release that digital. If you release that digital, we are not going to be putting the movie in our theaters.
I
And
mean,
now it's
maybe.
like, well, guess what? Our movies can make money. We just saw it during this horrible virus. But we did see that it is being supported through XYZ platforms.
Well,
And people aren't really pirating. Like, I'm sure the worry is, well, we don't want that to be pirated day one, of course. But guess what? They're sending, they're sending downloads to theaters at this point. It's not like you're getting reel-to-reels anymore. They're getting digital copies. So, I mean, if you look hard enough, you can pirate anything day one. But I would love to see all of a sudden Bloodshot next Tuesday gets released and they make XYZ amount on purchases and then XYZ amount on rentals.
Yeah, I looked up, I went on Box Office Mojo and looked it up. I mean, the movie's done 30 million worldwide, which is not a lot, but considering that nobody's going anywhere, I think it's like either number one or number two movie in the world.
But they said it was like 30% of what was projected. So
Well, yes.
that tells you too.
Yes, but I mean, the budget's 40 million.
So that's why I think this could be huge.
Yeah.
And I hope Marvel does the same thing. I hope Marvel follows suit and I hope they put out their stuff as well as who the hell is it? Not Suicide Squad, Birds
Harley
of
Quinn,
Prey. Yeah. Like they're rushing that to be released digitally, which is smart.
when I went to Bloodshot, which was great, by the way,
I'm looking forward to
everyone go listen to the latest Valiant Central podcast, and you'll hear all about it. I think
Well,
our discussion is almost as long as the movie.
awesome.
Yeah, there was an ad for Birds of Prey at the beginning, like not even a trailer.
Huh.
It was like Birds of Prey still in theaters.
Yeah.
I was like, huh, that's interesting. Yeah, my wife and I are gonna watch The Invisible Man tomorrow or Friday,
Awesome.
because we've been wanting to see it, but we haven't had a chance to. And you can buy it Friday.
That's so smart.
Yeah, so we're gonna do that.
You, can I give you my little take? I don't know if we talked about Invisible Man.
No, we have not.
Okay. You know how I am with Blumhouse stuff.
Yes.
But you also know how I am with Elizabeth Mouse, Moss. Every time I see the trailer, and I'm sure it drives Julie, the cruise director, crazy. Every time I see the trailer, it is so well put together. Her spilling the paint on the figure, her having bruises, her seeing stuff in her own house. That was so effective. And all of those scenes put together, if you would just take out the parts where the Invisible Man is throwing around cops and detectives, if it would have just been a trailer of her, you could have sold that to me as, well, she's just crazy. Is this all in her mind? But as soon as you add in those two scenes of like the detectives getting thrown around, then I'm like, motherfucker, you just ruined a huge aspect of that film in the trailer. Because Elizabeth Moss could have pulled off, like, is she just crazy? Is this all in her head? Even the paint, that wasn't in front of anyone. She could have just been like, oh my God, and then I spilled blah, blah, blah on that, and trying to explain it, and detectives just looking at her like, all right, she's just wacko. Like, where are your drugs? We need to get you back on your pills, lady.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. So you let me know if Nick can sit through that movie during the day, or is this something that, oh no, you can handle this at night. Because I want to see it. It looks really good.
Yeah, it's getting really good ratings, too. So,
yeah, cool.
Or reviews, rather. Yeah,
so I love that they rushed that out. I did not know that that's coming out Friday.
Yeah, that's a Universal flick. So Universal was the first one to announce that they were doing the direct-to-streaming thing.
Good. Very smart.
So Aaron and I in very briefly talked about this on Discord earlier.
Okay.
He was talking about New Mutants.
Yes.
Because that was pushed back again.
Yes, it was, but that's Universal too, right?
No, that's Disney.
Oh, darn it. Okay, yeah.
It was a Fox film, right? So now they own Fox.
Yes.
Anyway, they pushed it back again because of the virus. And the thing is, Disney's got Disney Plus. Like, you don't need to put it on there for free. Just let people buy it.
Right.
The movie's been, like, they filmed it, what, like 4 years ago?
I know.
Right? Those kids are like in walking canes right now.
I know. Right? I know.
They're in their 60s and they're playing teenagers on this movie because it was made so long ago. Just fucking put it out.
Rain is like, don't you remember Game of Thrones? Remember? I was in that. No, I was.
Which, by the way, Westworld started up. I can't wait.
Oh, you haven't watched any yet?
No, I haven't started it yet.
Okay. It does look good. I like Aaron Paul.
I think I'm going to wait to like halfway through the season.
Nice.
Before I start.
I do have a, if you're looking for entertainment.
Always.
I do have a documentary series for you and your wife.
Oh.
HBO.
Yes.
McMillions.
Really?
It just wrapped up. Episode 6 just came out. And it's a documentary series. I read the... I want to say it was a New York Times article, or it might have been a Crane Business article of the scandal that was I don't know how much you know about it, but it was the McDonald's monopoly scandal.
Yeah, the monopoly scam, yep.
And I remember reading the article, and the article is wackadoodle. and this documentary series, like I said, 6 parts, hour each, and it goes so in-depth. The only person they don't talk to is one person that's dead, and they don't talk to another person, but they talk to everyone else that's in the article, as well as like all the key players. And it's that train ride is fascinating. So highly recommend McMillions.
All right, I'm going to put that on my queue because I do like me some HBO.
Yeah, and it's perfectly timed. It is not the thing that we always bitch about, Netflix docuseries. It is not really a series that you could trim 20-30% away. Other than the 2-minute recap on every episode at the beginning. Other than that, before the credit scene, I would say you couldn't really trim too much away. So
interesting.
And I think your wife would enjoy the ride as well. It isn't a murder mystery, but it goes places. It's really, really good.
She just watched the Aaron Hernandez documentary.
Hell yeah.
Which that was very good.
That was a winner. Yeah, that was really good.
I loved his girlfriend's reactions. Like when he's in jail, he's like, hey, can you do me a favor? She's like, what, Aaron? She's like, leave me alone, you're fucking prisoner.
Or when he's barely, like, you can tell he's having a bad day, and she's just like, look, I gotta go, the kid.
Yeah.
All right. Just could give a shit.
Anyways, yeah. Can you bring me all the Harry Potters?
Right.
Guy. Anyway. Yeah, that's also very good. I started watching The Outsider on HBO. So that? The Outsider is based on a Stephen King novel.
Okay.
You know how I feel about those.
I know.
But this is very good. I don't think Stephen King wrote it. I think Joe Hill wrote it.
Ooh. Controversy.
It very much. We'll see when we get to the end.
Okay.
Because Stephen King can't write an ending.
True. Sorry, has he Stephen been King. In? Has he been in the movie yet? Because he does like to make cameos.
So I've only seen the first episode so far.
Are all the episodes out?
Yes. I think it just finished.
Oh, good.
This
okay.
Past week.
Let me know if that's something I can watch during the daytime.
I think so far, yes.
Okay. Okay.
It is, oh God, what the hell's his name? Jason Bateman. There we go.
Oh, nice.
Jason Bateman is the main character, basically.
Okay.
He also directed the first episode. I don't know if he directs the whole series, but he directed the first episode. I know that.
Nice.
It reminds me very much of True Detective.
Mm, okay.
The way that, it's filmed. And the time hopping and kind of the very somber atmosphere, the lack of music, very much feels like True Detective. Basically, Jason Bateman is a Little League coach. And this kid, there's been kids disappearing. And this one kid disappears. And the local detective is trying to figure out who kidnapped the kid. They find the kid's body, so they want to know who killed him. And they start finding witnesses, and they all like tell stories of them meeting with Jason Bateman, like through different parts of town, and like he's covered in blood, and like this and the other. But then you start like watching the CCTV footage, for example, and it's like very obvious that he's everything he's doing. Like if you killed somebody, you would not do, right? Like for example, like your entire path across town being directly under a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And like you stopping directly in front of a camera and like staring at it, right? Or like going to a very crowded place with your shirt full of blood. And you're like, how could this guy have killed this kid and him do this? Like, obviously he's going to get caught.
Sure.
But then you meet the guy and you're like, this guy couldn't have killed the kid. Like, he acts nothing like what you just saw. And it turns out that Jason Bateman was in like some teacher conference in some other town, like in a different state. When the murder happened. So the cops are like trying to figure out, well, like, how do we charge this guy? We have him on film, but he wasn't even in town. So how does that work? So it starts off very much like a true crime mystery. Of course, it is Stephen King. There's a supernatural element. The element is, it may
is
not
be. Is
there
a clone?
It's not a clone.
Okay.
But it may not be him. And I'll just let you think about that for a second.
Is it a twin situation?
It is not a twin situation. It's supernatural.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to spoil it. Are you ready?
I need you to watch more episodes, and I need to know how violent it is.
All right. I will let you know. So you want me to hold up? You want me to hold off on the spoiler?
No. You can give me the spoiler, right. But now the way you're talking, it sounds like this could fall into Julie the Cruise director loving sci-fi, and she might like this.
It's very possible.
Okay. Give me the spoiler. Because I know this is probably, this is the spoiler, let me guess. And then the credits roll on the first episode.
No, you get some hints of it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't learn about it in the first episode. I did some reading on the series.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it was partially spoiled for me. I wasn't worried about it because to me it was obvious that it's not him. And being Stephen King, I knew it had to be something else, something weird.
Sure.
So apparently it's like a demon that feeds on people's fear.
Oh.
And so like that's why he kills and kidnaps kids so he can feed off the fear in the town. And obviously he like if it's a demon, everyone's gonna be like freaking out. So he poses as like an outstanding member of the community. and does these murders in order to like get his fix.
Dang. Okay.
Anyways, we'll see how the rest of the series goes. I think it's only 8 episodes, but the first episode is fantastic. It's slow, so if you like True Detective, you'll like this.
You let me know. That sounds really good.
Mm-hmm. Jeez. I sure will. Acting's fantastic, by the way.
Good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Outsider. God, so good.
Huh.
Anyways, I'm trying to think what else I had. I got some, you know, I haven't talked to you in like a month, Nick. I got a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I good. Also don't Go have, on. I also don't have all night.
Oh, no?
You know what I mean?
You're not off like a lot of people?
No, dude. We're still working. I'm still working.
Are you working remotely? Working.
Nope.
Dang. Can I give you one more documentary series that I watched?
Of course.
This is a next Netflix series. Chris Campbell, don't watch this one.
Uh-oh.
People with children might not want to watch this one.
Oh.
I don't have children. I did not want to watch this one.
Oh, wow.
The Trials of Gabriel Fernandez. Not to be mixed up with Aaron Hernandez. Both are very good. But The Trials of Gabriel Hernandez, it was about a very famous murder of a young boy by his parents.
Hmm.
The parents are abusing him his entire life, and they push it too far, don't intentionally try to murder him, but the child dies. Sure. And when they try to resuscitate him at the hospital, as well as the autopsy, they find just a litany of bruises, lacerations, just a history. Mm-hmm. And they could tell bones were broke, like, not recently. And they can tell that, you know, there's scars on the child that didn't happen that night. It's the series sort of takes a hit on what are we doing, like family welfare? What are we doing with these parents? How is the justice system standing up for a victim who can't stand up for themselves, a child?
Mm.
And it is compelling. It is freaking frightening. It went to places that I didn't think it would go. It was fascinating to hear about social workers and how they have to approach a situation of a child being abused, what steps they have to take, and the amount of the house of cards that has to be built that all of these governmental systems all have to flow into one another. And once that teacher passes it off to a social worker, the social worker can't forget. They have to do it to their best ability. Like, the amount of reliance on the next person. Mm-hmm. And if any one of those links in that chain are broken, is the complete system broken? And that's mm-hmm. sort of what this docuseries talks about. The amount of terrible footage. Mm-hmm. I cried a couple times just looking at how it affected some of the family members and looking at how horrible some of this damage was. Mm. It was tough to get through, but it was one of those things that's like, I have to get through this.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so I would recommend it, but it certainly go. Aaron Hernandez, that is one hell of an entertaining documentary that will leave your jaw on the floor. Gabriel Fernandez documentary, that is something that will stir emotions in you and thoughts, and will provoke you to have discussions that maybe you never wanted to have, but I think more people should have.
Hmm.
So
very nice. Yeah, my wife really liked it.
What did the wife have to say about it?
Yeah, she really liked it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Yeah, she thought
it was stuffful.
She thought it was well done. A little sensational, but she liked it.
Yeah, there is sensational parts to it for sure.
Yep.
But it is fascinating to hear how a lot of government systems will back up the carts and circle around and like become very protective of itself and try to protect itself and not offer information out. So there was one guy who worked in social services, and they had to blank out his face as well as alter his voice. And some of the insight that they were sharing was shocking. Mm. Just like how broken that system is. Mm. Yeah.
I'm trying to think.
But on a lighter note,
uh-huh.
I found out through Gabriel Hardman, fantastic artist, that there is a documentary out on Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So now I'm hunting for that. I think it's only available for rent, not to stream, sadly. Hmm. Even on CBS All Access, it's like, what the H? How could they not have bought a documentary about a Star Trek franchise? But whatever. Why am I paying for that? No idea. But anywho, heard it was a great documentary, and that got me thinking, and I asked Julie, the cruise director, because I think and I love Deep Space Nine, but for whatever reason, I think we fell off the last two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I brought up to Julie, the cruise director, any chance you might want to go back and start at the beginning? Because I would love to watch it again. My man, Sisko, oh, bring it on. And she said, let's see how the documentary is. If that inspires us to go and watch it again, sign me up. But even if she doesn't sign herself up, I think I'm going to go back and rewatch that.
Mm.
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah, DS9 was good. I like that one. I'm trying to think, is that... Yeah, that might be my favorite, actually.
Yeah, it is for me.
Yeah, it's good. hot take. Send all hate mail to not me. TNG was so cheesy. You ever try to go back and rewatch TNG?
You know what? I think they have some great concepts. Sci-fi concepts.
Yes.
And some of the relationship stuff. I'm not talking about boyfriend, girlfriend, or stuff like that. Just the relationships of Data to XYZ, you know, that type of thing. Mm. I think those are really neat to watch as an arc overall, but it feels really dated.
Mm. Yeah.
It has not grown. It has not grown old well.
Mm.
But some of the sci-fi concepts are still fantastic.
Yep.
And then some are like they're hitting you over the head with like, we're going to make this an action episode. It's like, no, go back to the sci-fi. Come on.
Yep.
Yeah. But I mean, I hate to say it. I think I would rewatch if I had my choice to go back and like you have to watch an entire episode or an entire series. It definitely would be DS9. Maybe Enterprise?
Yeah, I forgot about Enterprise.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Enterprise is pretty good.
Yeah.
Underrated.
But I don't know where the original would land for me, and I don't know where Next Generation would land.
Would you ever rewatch Voyager?
Yes. I think that would be my third choice.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were some cool relationships and good concepts in that one, too.
All right. Rank the Star Trek series in terms of rewatchability.
Oh, you mean the entire series?
The entire series. And DS9, you can skip season one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah.
Huh. Jesus. You throw that right at me.
I'll give you mine.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I would go DS9.
Mm-hmm.
Then number two would be the new series.
Discovery or Picard?
Discovery.
Okay.
I haven't seen Picard yet, so I can't judge.
Okay.
So DS9, Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would go original series. Then,
okay.
Then Enterprise. Then Voyager. Then TNG.
Where does the animated series fall?
I've never seen that.
Okay. Well, get on it, son.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was out for like 1 year, so
that means
you certainly can sit through it, and but still, it's Rottenberry.
So is the animated series like the Ewok Christmas special?
No, not that bad. not nearly that bad. It's up there with like the first Spider-Man show.
That's not terrible.
Right, that's what I'm saying. All it's right. not terrible. All it's right. just compared to other Star Treks. All right.
That's on All Access?
I thought it was.
Damn it. I don't want to sign up for that garbage service.
But I can check for you. Let me know. Yeah. I think I would go DS9. Good God. I've only seen half a season of Discovery, so I can't really rate that high. Okay, this is not the most important. This is how I would want to watch them at this point, because I've already seen them. But I think I would say DS9, Enterprise, Discovery, because I still want to finish that. I'm still compelled, but for whatever reason, it just stalled out on me. Jeez, am I going to go Voyager?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Continue.
I think I might go Voyager.
Yeah.
Holy Christ. Am I going to put, holy mackerel, I just jumped ahead. Am I going to put Next Generation last?
Yes, you are.
Okay, then it's Picard, Original, and Next Generation. Wow. That's how I would do it.
Is Picard good, then?
Holy Christ, I just put Next Generation last.
Yep, you sure did.
Dang, send the hate mail to Daryl Hill. Holy Christ, I can't believe I did that.
Yep. That's the correct
answer. I feel bad, but to be honest with you, I think that's how I would rewatch all. If I had to rewatch the entire thing, if I could cherry pick stuff, okay, then Next Generation would definitely be way higher because there's great episodes. But I still think I would watch Enterprise and Voyager.
But remember,
front to back.
Exactly. We're judging as a whole.
Right. Yeah. And I guess what? I sort of liked Enterprise.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, Scott Bakula rocks.
Yep. That was what, on UPN, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah.
And I liked the concept. I liked them being stuck, like, and trying to get back. I think that's why I like DS9. I like the fact that it's like a remote thing that they don't know what the hell they're up against. I love it.
Perfect.
Dang, now I want to go watch DS9. And I hate that you put me in that position, you son of a generation. Poor little out.
See, at least I'm not
Commander Troy. You're not.
There you go.
You still have a spot in my heart.
At least I'm not the only one that puts TNG last.
Yeah, there was just some clunky stuff going on there. But I get it. I mean, TSG, when you watch like a documentary or like read a wiki about it, wow, did it seem like they had a lot of writers going in and going out.
Now, have you seen all the movies?
Yes.
You have. Okay, yes. Good. Next episode, we're going to rate all the movies.
Oh, no.
In order of rewatchability.
Okay, sneak preview. TSG, your movies might be at the end, too.
Oh, that's too funny.
Might be a controversial statement. But the Borg ain't that awesome. People.
All right. Here's another hot take. If they did the Borg correctly, they would be super awesome.
For sure.
But they're wasted.
Yes. They became a one-note character.
Did you see that quote from Gabe Newell?
Was he talking about his knife collection again?
No.
Know he is a knife enthusiast.
Yes, I know.
I knew you knew.
The quote is, "We're way closer to the Matrix than people realize."
Oh. And then did Keanu say, "Yeah, I know, we're doing a sequel to it, guy."
Oh, man.
Hey, yeah. Can I ask you about a video game?
Sure.
Did you ever play Neo?
Neo.
N-I-O-H.
Let me look this up.
Maybe it isn't even on Steam. Maybe it's a PS4 exclusive.
N-I-O-H. This does not look familiar.
Okay. I'm curious because it's very similar to Dead Souls, but it's set in almost like a traditional sort of fantasy Japanese, historical Japanese setting. And Neo 2 just came out. That's why. And I watched a few like gameplay walkthroughs of it. Holy Christ. They have some cool, just kick ass, like Japanese mythology, spirit animals that like support you. I saw one of this gigantic, it was one of those boss characters, but it had a head of like a demoned horse with gigantic horns and this just huge Final Fantasy looking sword. And I was like, I wonder if Martin would be into this, because I know you like a little Japanese mythology.
I would totally be into this, but it's not on Steam.
Oh, hello, Sony. PS4. Hello.
Shame, shame, shame.
Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah.
Yeah, this does look good.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, watch a little bit of, like, especially Neo 2. Take a look at maybe an hour of gameplay. You'll see there's, like, little hidden characters that you collect that are just real cute. Like, they look sort of like fat little Pillsbury Doughboys that are, like, iridescent green that are really tiny. And when you discover them, because they're hidden throughout the levels, then all of a sudden they appear at the place that you save your progress at. And of course, just like Dead Souls, it will, as soon as you save your progress, it repopulates the world.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, no matter where you go, there's going to be characters to fight.
Nice.
And for Neo, it's a little temple, a little shrine that you, like, kneel in front of. And all of these little Pillsbury Doughboy characters are hanging out on top of the shrine. It's really adorable, but oh my god, some of this just looks badass, dude. That horse, that horse boss, horse face boss, holy Christ, that looked cool. It was like the horns were, like, on fire, like they were glowing. It right. looked really, really neat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can. There's got to be a way that I can play that. How can I play that? I got to think about this. I'm not buying a PS4 to play this game.
No, don't do that, because PS5's right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. I haven't even watched the announcement yet.
I haven't either.
All right. I'll check that out for next time. I am excited, though, because, you know, my favorite game, Hearthstone, has a new expansion coming out April 7th.
Oh,
yeah. And for the first time, you need your
place of business to be like, we got to close the doors.
Yes.
And then you're like, at least close them by April 7th. Thank you.
Just wait until April 7th and then close for 2 weeks.
Thank you.
But yeah, for the first time since the game came out, which I guess is, what, like 6 years old by now, they're introducing a new hero, and I'm very excited.
Ooh, neat.
Yeah, they're going to have a playable demon hunter.
Oh, shoot.
Mm-hmm. And the cards That'll for it fun. Look awesome.
Cool.
Is
Julian still into it?
Not so much.
Oh, boy. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe a demon hunter will get him back in.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you just going to casually, like, send him a couple videos? I know you're not into this, but you might be into this.
There you go.
Back to us. Why not?
Oh, man, they have a bunch of new cards. I haven't seen these. Hello!
You're like, okay, now I have to take tomorrow off of work. I feel a little cough coming on. You can play some Hearthstone.
I wish.
Hell yeah.
They're not very well prepared. We had an emergency conference call at 7 tonight.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, they're doing daily conference calls at 7 in the morning.
Oh, God.
To keep everyone updated. And then my new boss, because I don't know if I told you this, I got a new boss. Yeah, I did tell you that. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, the girl?
Yeah.
Or sorry, woman?
Yeah. A new boss.
Oh, jeez.
We'll talk about that next time. But anyways, okay. He texted everybody and was like, we're not doing a conference call tomorrow, but we're doing one tonight at 7. Because he's having one at 6 p.m. every day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now, is this conference call with your entire team?
Yes. No.
Just his management?
Management, yeah.
And now, do you wait for any one of these morning conference calls or late night conference calls to be like, all right, this is when they're going to shut the doors. This is when they're like, just work remote, guys.
No. But so we had the first one last week, and he texted me at like 8 o'clock at night. He's like, conference call tomorrow at 7. I was like, oh, it's a coronavirus call. And of course it was. But yes, now they're doing these daily calls just to assess the situation every day, I guess. I don't fucking know.
Wow. Could everybody get their work done remotely?
There's not really. There's not enough implemented for that. My wife has the same problem.
Gotcha.
In fact, her manager kind of got in trouble because she decided that on Fridays they would start working from home. And it worked out for one Friday, and then the next Friday, they got in trouble for not being in the office, because they don't have procedures in place for working at home.
Wow. But still, you would think that, like, if her company was uber concerned, that they could figure out, you know what, we don't need eight people here. We probably need two people here. Can we just figure out a schedule to have two people work, and just pay everyone else? I know that would stink for the bottom line or whatever, but at least then it sort of looks like you're concerned, sort of. But I understand both of those scenarios are above your pay grade and your wife's pay grade. Yeah. I get it.
So we'll see. Anyways, playing it by ear, Nick.
I know, and here I am keeping you up late at night. You're not getting any reading in, and you have to go into work early for
Man,
this.
I don't know. I might stay up and watch a documentary on interdimensional
Oh, send that to me.
Bigfoot.
Hello.
No, I'm kidding. I'm going right to sleep.
Gotcha. Have you read the latest Immortal Hulk?
No, I'm so
Speaking of
behind,
Bigfoots,
man. No.
you need to read that. Oh my God. Al Ewing takes it into a place that is so up our alley. I'm so frustrated that this storyline, this current storyline, isn't wrapped up, because I really want to know how it ends. I'm
Nice.
so frustrated. Like, I mean, I hate to say it, but I would tell you to wait, because the cliffhanger I'm on with the most recent issue is so it leaves things up in the air just enough that's like, dang it, I want to know more. I just want more. Yeah, it's really, really impressive.
Very good.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have him write Moon Knight.
Ooh. Oh man. Would he get rid of the personalities?
Yeah, fuck that shit. I'm
I
tired of
don't
that.
know.
I'm
Yeah,
tired of that, dude.
but look at Hulk with all the avatars.
Yeah, but still.
I understand that Moon Knight never really got away from those, so it would be a nice sort of clean break, but and Hulk never really had all these avatars of previous incarnations, but still.
Here, let me give you an idea. Moon Knight goes back to Egypt and fights Apocalypse. DM, Marvel, call me. Okay?
I've been writing this for 3 years. Call me.
Nerdy Legion, copyright 2016. Okay?
Yeah. Hell yes.
Yeah, just fucking let me do it. It's been in my
Oh.
head for years. Just fucking
Who
let
would
me do it.
draw that?
Wando.
Really? That
Oh,
is
no, no,
deep.
no, 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 not Wando. Oh, shit. What's that guy? Oh, God. Hang on. Damn it. What book was he doing? Shit.
John Cassaday.
No. He's been doing stuff on Batman when Tom King was murdering the Batman comic.
Mitch?
No, not Mitch.
Lee Weeks?
Nope. Oh, Oh, my God. Ronnie's
David Finch?
Listening right now, and he's gonna murder me when he listens.
Oh.
'Cause this guy was an artist for Aftershock, and
Oh,
then he got these backups. He was the secondary artist on several issues of Batman, and he fucking rocked it, dude. 'Cause he's got this like Golden Age style, but it's like very modern and minimalist with like thick lines. It's fucking beautiful.
Dang it.
Oh my God. I don't even remember what issue that was that he was doing. He did a few issues of them.
Why can't you remember?
Oh my God. No, that's not him. Oh, terrible. I'm terrible. Terrible person. What if I go to Aftershock's website? Because I can't remember what the book was he did for Aftershock either. I'm such a terrible person.
Oh, the worst.
Oh, when I see it, I will know.
Then you'll know. Till then, stay tuned.
But until then, no. No, hang on. We're gonna figure this shit out right now.
Uh-oh.
'Cause this ain't happening. We
You know
can't.
who I would like? I'd like Dean White Colors, and I'd like Daniel Acuna.
Ooh.
Yes,
I
yes,
like
yes.
it.
because he did some pretty nice stuff on Remender's Uncanny X-Force.
Was this it? God damn it. Aftershock, you have too many books.
You put out too much good stuff. Guys, we should do a podcast about that. Oh, wait, we do.
This guy's got a Spanish name. Why can I not think of it?
Gilbert Hernandez.
No.
Jaime Hernandez.
No, that would be Jay's dream artist.
Of course, that's what he was yelling. I heard it. And I said, I got you, Jay.
Oh, my God. Where's Ronnie when I need him? Is Ronnie online right now?
I'm sure he's reading his 40th comic book tonight.
Yeah, he probably is. Man, why can't I think of this guy's name? I'm telling you, I'm going to find it immediately after and then be like, yep, that was a fucking easy-ass name. Why can't I remember that?
Jeez, the worst. The worst.
Nah, never mind. I can't even find it right now. I don't know what's happening.
It's not Michael Jahan.
No, no, no. No, yeah. I told you it's a Spanish name.
You know, I'm trying to help over here, killer.
You know what? You know what? We're going to change that. He's going to be the secondary guy.
Can I guess another name?
Yes.
Jorge Fornes.
You are a genius. That's who I was thinking
of. Thank you, DuckDuckGo.
How'd you figure that out?
I put in Tom King, Batman backup artist.
God damn it, you're a genius.
Thank you.
Yes, Jorge Fornes would be my artist.
I might have to take a look at his work. Because, you know, my spotlight character is Batman for 2020, as well as Hulk.
He is currently doing Daredevil.
Ooh, okay. Well, Chip, I might have
Chip's Daredevil.
I might have to check that out.
He is awesome. Anyways, who's the second person?
What do you mean?
If Jorge was too busy doing Daredevil, who
would you're going to go with a number two?
Who would draw my Moon Knight?
Well, I already gave you my answer, so you're going to have to come up with a secondary answer.
Oh, you cheater.
I didn't cheat. Mine was Daniel Acuna, and I even gave you a color.
You did. You're right. All right, I forgive you.
Yes.
So if Jorge was too busy, I would have Phil Hester do it.
Ooh, that'd be good. Mm-hmm. That's some Egyptian love right there. Mm-hmm. Man, oh man, imagine those hieroglyphics, brother.
Hell yeah. Or Terry Moore. Terry Moore would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But then that would mean Terry Moore would have to go work for Marvel, though.
Well, and that's true.
That doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon.
That's very true.
But let's write a different character. Let's call him Twilight Knight.
Yes, let's call him Sun Knight.
Yes.
Moon Cavalier.
Crescent Daytime. And he doesn't dress all in white. He's in a salmon color.
Ooh. I wonder if there's like a hippie name generator. There's gotta be, right?
I'm sure there is.
The damned hippie name generator. All right, let's find out. No, that's a quiz. Ooh, babynames.com has one. All right, here we go. First initial of your first name, N for Nick Wetmore.
I thought you were going to do Moon Knight.
What's your sign, Nick?
Scorpio, of course.
Scorpio. This page isn't working. What the hell, babynames.com? This is shameful.
What?
It doesn't work.
Did you find my porn star name? I'll tell you. It's Terry Beaudrap.
All right, here we go. What color shirt are you wearing?
Right now?
Yes. And no shirt is not an answer.
Bare-chested. Barrel-chested.
All right, so white.
What color? Hair shirt. How about that?
What is it?
Hair shirt. Because I'm only wearing my chest hair right now.
Oh, my God.
Hello, ladies.
All right, here are your options. I guess black. No.
It's red.
Red. Ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, you're going to have a good hippie name. All right, your hippie name is Singing Mountain Lover.
Hell yeah. That's
pretty good.
That's real good.
That seems like an episode title to me.
When I start writing comics, that will be my nom de plume.
All right, let's see what mine is. What color is my shirt? Oh, black. Huh, who would have thunk it? Let's see. I am Black River Hippie.
Black River Hippie? Wow. You know what that sounds like? That doesn't sound like a hippie, Dave. That sounds like a unsolved murder case.
Yes. It sounds like the name for a serial killer.
Yes. Three young teenage women died in Iowa Springs today, and it was the Black River. What was it? Black River what?
Black River hippie.
Black River. It was the notorious Black River hippie.
See, we have our episode title, The Adventures of Singing Mountain Lover and Black River Hippie.
It's like Cavalier and Clay if Cavalier and Clay never won an Eisner or a Pulitzer.
I might need to get a shorter name. That might not fit within the 280 character limit.
That would make people search and be like, what is this about? The unsolved the Black River Hippie.
That's hilarious. All right, I think it's time to skedaddle. Wow, a 3-hour episode. We haven't done that in a very long time, Nick.
It's a king size one. I like it.
That's what she said.
Oh, no.
Hey, you fell right into it, buddy.
I did. Your traps are too well laid out.
You have been listening to The Adventures of Singing Mountain Lover and Black River Hippie. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion. Thank you for listening. See you next week.
Bye-bye.